This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I like that, Princess.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. Absolutely ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do. And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
All right. Well, we're not sorry. We're PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here. The rest of the gang will join us. Andy and Paul. They're up just finishing up with Bill Belichick's press conference, and hopefully they'll come down with lunch for us as well. That's the most important thing. But anyway, as every Wednesday at noon, we're here to talk to you about the Patriots. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. It's webradio@patriots.com.
Oh,
phone
yeah.
Number.
I'll definitely win the long ball drive today.
Right. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And again, the email, webradio@patriots.com. Tom, we've got a ton of emails in already.
Big time of year.
That's unbelievable.
Right around the corner.
A lot of people have things to say about Deion Branch, about Rodney Harrison coming back.
Big week.
A lot of
big
topics week coming up that we're going to talk about for the next 2 hours.
And I don't know. ESPN likes to say things without any sources, so you never know where they're getting it.
Right.
But I heard last night where they said Deion Branch is seriously considering holding out into the season.
Deion Branch's agent's a boob.
Branch.
He's a rube.
Right.
He's giving his client bad advice. I gotta think that this is killing Deion Branch, because he knows he should be out here. He's a guy that's under contract. The Patriots have made him, from what I understand, a decent offer.
What I don't get is the agents making it sound like he was tricked into signing a contract.
Yeah.
He's like, well, he signed a 5-year deal when he wanted to sign a 4-year deal. Well, too bad.
That's like T.O.'s agent forgetting to fax in the
thing
he was with San Francisco.
Yeah, I want you to pay me $150,000. So what?
Yeah.
People want a lot
next
of things,
question.
You know what I mean? He was there. He could have signed any contract he wanted to during that.
This isn't good. The contract offer, from what I understand, that they've given Deion Branch, the Patriots have given Deion Branch, will pay him an average of about $6 million a year. We'll pay him $8
million
up front guaranteed.
$1 million.
He'll have a chance to have another contract by the time he's 30. So it's a similar contract, not in terms of money, but in duration of Richard Seymour.
And he'll have a chance to play with the best quarterback in the NFL, where
yes,
his numbers will continue to be good.
Right.
And when he signs that contract when he's 30, he'll be overpaid because he played with Tom Brady for those years.
So, and the Patriots are willing to do this for him a year ahead of schedule. So I think he's getting
really
some bad advice.
I don't know what he wants, to be honest with you. I don't know what they want.
Well, they want that type of Reggie Wayne money, and they probably want over $10 million up front guaranteed or something like that. I don't know, but it's not worth doing what he's doing. I know that for sure. So he's hurting himself maybe more than he's hurting the Patriots right now.
Right.
That said, we've got to get into some camp talk, Tom. So far, Give me one thing that you think that have looked really good and your one area of concern.
I think the defensive front has looked really good. Like the defensive line, the starting linebackers when they're in there. Obviously, the depth is a concern there. But the front seven on defense, I think, looked really good. The secondary, I still have concerns with. My biggest concern is Matt Cassel. I was thinking about this last night, and you know what it reminds me of, Fred? You know when you're dating a girl for a couple of weeks and things are going good, and the next thing you're in Vermont on a weekend and she's talking your ear off and you're thinking, my God, things are going too fast.
Right.
They drafted this guy as a project in the seventh round. He never played college football.
How long does it take you to think these
all of a sudden he's backing up Tom Brady? And the thing I'm a big proponent in the backup quarterback, not for if Brady gets lost for the season. If Brady gets lost for the season, fine, put Cassel out there. I'm talking about the 4-5 game stretch. If Brady gets hurt for 4-5 games, you need someone to come in, hold the fort down, go 2-2 until Brady comes back. I don't know if Cassel can do that. He holds the ball way too long in just practice. His arm seems to tire as practice goes on because he's obviously not used to getting a lot of reps, not starting since high school.
Right.
And I'm just afraid that if Brady gets an injury where he's only going to be out a few weeks, having Cassel as the backup quarterback could hurt them. And I'll tell you what, if he struggles against the Falcons, remember the name Vinny Testaverde.
Well,
because it's a perfect one-year stopgap.
What is he, like 50 years
old?
But
the point is, Fred, he doesn't have to do nothing. He can come in and be the third quarterback just as insurance.
Yeah.
But Belichick knows him. It gives Cassel one more year to develop. Then if someone has to come in and play two games, maybe they go with Testaverde just to hand the ball off, throw a couple of passes down the field. So if Cassel struggles in the preseason, I think Testaverde could be here.
That would be something. And I agree. I think that that's the stretch you're looking for, that interim stretch just to hold the fort down. You want a guy who can beat the teams you're supposed to beat.
Right.
You know, and, you know, Testaverde, I don't know what kind of shape he is. What is he, 43 now?
From everyone that's ever talked about him, he keeps himself in just phenomenal shape.
And we know, you know, he Belichick likes him.
Yep.
He has experience with him. So it makes sense.
And we're not talking about a Testaverde who's going to go out there and throw the ball 50 times like he used to. We're talking about a guy who, if Brady was going to miss 2 weeks and they're playing some tough teams and they don't think Cassel's quite ready, you can bring him in. He can hand the ball off to Dylan Maroney. He can take a couple shots down the field with Branch if he's here. You know, throw to the tight ends, play good defense, and win as a team. Like, that's what the Patriots do. They win as a team. They don't win with one person.
Right. All right, other news that came out last night, kind of confirming the news that we already knew. Teddy Bruschi will be lost for the preseason with a broken wrist. The Boston Globe had that confirmation direct from Bill Belichick. So that, I think, already kind of depletes an already thin middle linebacker spot. Barry Gardner's getting a lot of reps in the middle. Bill Belichick's been spending a lot of one-on-one time with the linebacking unit.
To be honest, he doesn't look that comfortable in the middle.
Yeah, right, it's going to take some time. So that's another area of concern, you'd have to say. You know, you say you like the front seven, but you got to include that linebacking core.
Well, the starters, I said. When the starting unit's out there,
We know Bruschi's not going to be there until at least the regular season.
Right, it's a concern. Linebacker's been a concern. They haven't really addressed the situation through the draft, so they haven't brought in a lot of people. When you do that, it's going to be a concern.
The guys are here. Andy's here. Paul's here. Kyle's here. And we've got all these new contraptions here in the radio studio. Now the microphones are on these big arms with springs, and we've got these remote cameras here.
I can't really see everybody. There's stuff in
there. No, it's...
And when Gary gets to his microphone, maybe he'll tell us why all this stuff is here.
It's like the Seinfeld where he redoes his apartment, and then it's too congested, and nobody can see each other, and I'm not going to stay here.
What's with all this high-tech stuff, Gary?
Well, only you're hearing me because no one else has their headphones on, but Patriots Mondays, the interviews are going to be put on demand on Comcast, so they wanted to spruce up the studio.
I heard you.
So, people with Comcast now...
Fred, you turn your mic off.
Oh, okay. So
that's one of those new contraptions.
Fred's a little confused over
there. So that red button...
He's eating cake, he's turning his microphone off.
That doesn't only work when you have it held down.
Correct.
There's a red button in front of me that when you cough, you're supposed to press the button down.
Is up on or is down on?
I don't know. It doesn't go... I don't know. It's red, but it doesn't light up.
Down is on.
No, you're not on.
Am I on now?
Now you're on.
For a crew who's eating hot dogs while they're on the air, I'm not sure we need that button.
That's probably accurate.
All right, so on Comcast, Gary, you'll be able to see Patriots Monday?
The interviews only.
Just the interviews.
And only in Massachusetts?
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
What about us?
No, it'll just be one of the cookies in with the big see. Show and when the
players should we film us? Should we put a No? All right. Anyway, we got all
this exclusive
that
could big.
All these
only
new contraptions.
Viewership.
You got me two. Do you want a hamburger, Tom?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right. These guys have just come from the press conference, and we were talking about not the late breaking news, but the news that came out last night, the confirmation that Teddy Bruschi's wrist is indeed broken, and he'll be lost for the preseason. One thing, though, that, you know, Andy, you and I were talking about it out of practice today, if there's a guy that you're kind of not worried about missing the preseason, other than Deion Branch, who he's done that before, it's Teddy Bruschi. Because if there's anyone that knows this defense, plays with instinct, you know, more than anyone, it's Teddy Bruschi. So he can, from a learning standpoint, in a comfortable standpoint, he can afford to miss these preseason games in practice.
Well, I don't know if he can afford to. If there was one person on the defense you were going to pick, maybe he'd be the guy. You want people out there.
Right.
There's a reason there's training camp. There's a reason Tom Brady practices and Rodney Harrison and the guys that are the best practice, because you need it. It's going to hurt them to some degree,
and
it's just how much.
And if there's a type of injury that a guy is going to have, broken bones are, believe it or not, a better one to have because they heal if they're, you know, set right. And I guess with this type of injury, if you need to put a screw in or whatever, but if it's done right, they heal stronger than when, you know, before they broke. So it's better than pulled muscles or, you know, certainly what he had last year, which was, you know, a stroke.
Yes, I agree
with
that part.
So there's
and they're less nagging.
There's a definite.
I'm going to go on record as saying I agree with Fred. A broken wrist is better than a stroke.
Yes. Right.
I want to wholeheartedly support my boss.
There's a definite, at least, you know, and I'm sure the Patriots will never come out and say it, but there's a definite return schedule for an injury like that that you kind of can plan on.
If they do come out and say it, it won't be the Alan Porter.
It won't be Alan.
So what was that all about? Do we have that tape, Gary, from today's press conference?
I've missed two press conferences in my life, and this was one of them.
Because I guess one of the writers took offense that the Globe came out with that story.
As he should.
And how did that come? Was that
who wrote the story?
Mike Reese.
Okay.
And so did he call Belichick on the phone? Or?
Although, to be fair, the information was already out there earlier because when I was at the gym at about 6:30 last night, ESPN was already reporting
that
Teddy Bruschi would miss the entire preseason.
Retracing the steps, Sal Palantonio was here yesterday.
Right.
Okay? So that's where the information originated. And I don't mean the information that Bruschi had a broken wrist, because we all knew that.
That was in the Herald a week and a half.
The Boston Herald wrote that at least 10 days ago, complete with charts and graphs of I believe they called it the scaphoid bone. It's not scaphoid. They said it's pronounced scaphoid. I'm not sure if that's correct, but that's what they had. And this is not new information, but ESPN, Sal Palantonio, reported last night, and early last night, because they had an interview with Brady also, I think that ran at 6:40, mm-hmm. That Bruschi, the Patriots have said that Bruschi will miss the entire preseason. Now, Mike Reese evidently saw this report and called Bill Belichick, called Stacey James, who got the confirmation from Bill Belichick, because Bill made mention today that he said what he had to say in his statement.
In his statement?
Now, I don't know if that's just semantics or, to me, if you talk to Mike Reese personally, that's not a statement. That's
no.
You know, that's answering a question in an interview. So I think it was something that Stacey was the intermediary. Alan Greenberg of the Hartford Courant, I think, rightly so, was a little bit put off by the fact that it's information that all of the writers have known, but Bill hasn't confirmed. So, you know, are the writers all supposed to call Bill every night from the time that they asked the question originally until he confirms it?
I will say something, not necessarily in the Patriots' defense, but in Mike Reese's defense, he does call every day. I mean, not only is he at every practice, but he calls the Patriots' PR office probably every evening to see if there's anything that's happened since practice.
Alan Greenberg said he talked to Stacey James 9 o'clock last night.
Well, did he ask the same question? I don't know.
I don't know.
You know? I don't know.
But I want to know, when did we start answering questions about injuries? That's what I want to know.
Well, I mean, you know, I think when there's definitive you know, if definitive injury. They have said,
So last year when Brady was injured in Buffalo, that really was his shin then, I guess, right? Because he was wearing a knee brace. Because when you hurt your shin, everybody wears a knee brace. We know that.
The main problem here, Fred, is they deviated from their normal policy of we don't talk about injuries. And they chose to make a statement about an injury. And I don't understand why. I am on board with the don't talk about injuries.
Right.
If a coach chooses to go that way, I think that's fine.
Right.
I just don't really like once in a while we'll be on the record about an injury.
Yeah, no, it's so, you know.
Maybe it's Brusky's leg.
I can understand. If Alan Greenberg was on the phone with Stacey James last night saying, hey, what's up, anything new, and he didn't share the same information,
that's a problem.
At least say that, hey, Bill just made a statement to the Globe. Here's what it was. That's not right.
Right. I agree.
And
I think, Fred, to take it a step further, you know, we asked, you know, did Alan Greenberg ask the same questions that Mike Reese did? I think that's, in this particular case, this individual case, I think that's somewhat irrelevant because, obviously, the information was out there on ESPN.
Stacey, do you
Now, maybe Alan didn't see it on ESPN. Maybe he was just calling generically to call. And checking in every day the way you say that Mike Reese does.
And he does. It's not that I say that
no,
he does.
No, I'm just saying the way you just explained is mm-hmm. I should have said it to more accurately. But
I
don't think it's really that important. Obviously, there was a story out there, and the Patriots knew that some writers were calling about it, and it was going to be out there. I think that it would have been better served organizationally to have everybody on the same page. Now, if guys are too lazy
question.
To call in and check in and do their job,
that's a problem.
I'm not saying if they had to call everybody and tell them, but if you called in to check,
yes.
I think you should have been told.
And, you know, I don't want to get into this whole media discussion because every time we do, we get...
And this also has nothing to do with us, by the way, because...
Got to have a cell phone.
Well, I want to ask
you
a question.
Dealing with a different
who you think, as a media member, you're competing against other media members?
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree. And I think that...
Go to New York.
There has been too... I think in Boston, there's too much... Oh, what were the quotes today? Oh, can you get me the quotes
today? Right.
Oh, what did he say? And I don't think there's enough guys out there, you know, working the beat, trying to get their own information. I think they depend too much on statements and press releases.
Just take quotes.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of laziness in journalism that didn't exist 20 years ago in this town. So that's just my thought there.
I can't agree with you about
and when a guy like Mike Reese
town,
comes, and not
I
just because he used to work for PFW, but when a guy like Mike Reese comes out and really hustles and does a lot of work,
right,
other, guy,
last night.
Other guys in the media kind of, oh, look, you know, what's he trying to do? Oh, yeah, he's trying to be the best at what at his craft and do what's right by the fans, which is, you know, be in constant contact with the team. So I don't mind when a guy like that once in a while gets a little preferential treatment. Other than the fact he's from the Globe, which is the biggest newspaper, and if you're a businessman, when you want to get news out, you got to go to the biggest.
Then that all goes back to if this team starts to struggle, and like we talked about the backup
that's
quarterback,
that's the risk.
The backup
sure.
quarterback. If they don't bring in a veteran and they go with Castle and he's not ready, does Mike Reese step up and ask the questions?
I don't think we've seen the last of this story. I think you're going to see a couple little editorials written by some columnists in different newspapers. I think you will.
Go ahead.
Well, no, you want to talk about it. I just wanted to move on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wanted to say, I think the news of the day is let's look past all the media crap and why the news is out there.
The hot receiver in practice?
No. That's not the news of the day.
Who is it?
He made a couple plays
today.
The news of the day is you have Barry Gardner and Don Davis starting at inside linebacker. To me, that's...
Gardner was in there yesterday with the first team.
Yeah, I mean, those are your starting inside. Monty Beisel's rotating in with the twos, but it appears Don Davis and Barry Gardner are the starters right now. To me, you lose football games if those two are on the... To me, that's worse than Beisel and Brown.
Yeah, you should rephrase the bad news of the day.
Well, yeah.
Well, the big news and the best news since the last time we did a show is obviously the return of Rodney Harrison, mm-hmm. which I don't think anyone predicted so soon.
Nobody did. That's why he came back. To prove
nobody
wrong.
Well, he did say that. He said one of his biggest motivation was people saying he wouldn't come back.
Right.
But I think that's great news. It was almost like it was Christmas morning when everyone walked out to practice on Monday, and Richard Seymour was there, Dan Copen was there, Daniel Graham was there, and Rodney Harrison was there. It really was like you came down Christmas morning, and all these presents you didn't expect were under the tree.
Right. I found Harrison's comments to be comical.
I know he's a nice guy,
and he uses stuff like that for motivation, but me and Paul sat down on a conference call with him after he was injured, and let's be honest, he wasn't sure if he was coming back himself. So to say that everyone said he wasn't coming back, and he was going to prove everyone wrong, I don't remember too many people saying that.
Yeah, but he also was proving people wrong by winning Super Bowls they were favored to win. So that's what he does.
At any rate, he came back faster than any.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing? Kyle's here.
I think when you speak, you should say, "I'm Kyle the intern. Here's what I think."
This is Kyle the intern, and I'm here to tell you guys that I don't think that Harrison was coming back.
If you use that voice.
Who knew he had a personality?
I'm saying, we talked about this before. We talked about it before, but Culpepper has basically the same injury. McGahee had the same injury, and they're coming back faster and faster.
No, medical science, rehabilitation has changed.
The questions for me personally weren't if he'll come back. That conference call that we had, Rodney said in no uncertain terms he planned on coming back. So that was enough for me. I knew he'd be back. My questions were when and at what level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's 32 years old now. He said he used that as a big motivation, too, and I believe that he did because a lot of people took the age into consideration, and rightly so. I have.
But and those two questions are still out there.
Those two questions are still on the board.
How well?
Because he'll be the first to tell you, he is far, far from 100%.
Yeah.
He's not even close.
You can see it.
He can barely run. I mean, when he runs straight forward and has to slow down, it takes him a long time to stop.
I was going
to
say, that's the biggest thing. He can run. He seems like the other day he chased down somebody.
So why did they bring him back?
He can run.
Well, I think he needs to get out and see what he can do. Yeah, yeah.
I think they've gone all along thinking he was going to play this year. I don't think PUP was on their agenda.
And we had talked about that because we had heard some people around the organization talking about that on this not talking about it on this show, but we have talked about it on the show that, you know, the whole thing with PUP is probably not going to happen. You know, and I don't think that was a... Yeah, I'm not surprised by the fact that he is not on PUP. I'm not surprised by the fact that he returned. I am surprised that he returned this quickly.
So do you think it's a matter of, for Harrison, let's see what you can do, and we're either going to shut it down for the season or you're out there for the rest of the season?
Oh, no, I think he's out there unless he has a setback or gets hurt or something.
A barometer, see what... You know, that's what,
I mean, clearly their goal is opening day. You removed PUP from the picture.
No,
their goal is opening day. He's ready.
So that's no longer an option. But do you think he'll play in this first preseason game?
No.
Do you want him to start opening day? Because I'm about to make a guarantee. I guarantee you he won't be there on opening day. So there you go.
Really?
He's lining up against the Bills.
Okay.
From what I'm seeing right now, he's not a couple of weeks away from getting on the field, from what I'm seeing. And I don't want to rush a guy. A guy tore three knee ligaments. I don't want to rush him back on the field. If he comes back week three, week four,
so he'll be
fine.
A game day inactive for a while.
That's what I think.
I'm not sold on that.
I don't know.
I don't know how long, but I do think Tom is right now, based on what I'm seeing. I might change my mind in 3 or 4 days and see him doing more things. Right now, based on what I'm seeing, I think he's a game day inactive week one. I'm not willing to go much further than that, but clearly he was going to be ready before week seven. So PUP didn't make any sense because he's going to be ready before that.
Give our listeners a little update on Graham, Copen, and Seymour, who also were Graham never was on PUP, but who also took the field on Monday. How are they looking? And do you think that they might have a chance for opening day?
I think they all have a chance, or they wouldn't have brought him off PUP. I mean,
you don't have to get snappy with me.
No, I'm just saying. I think Graham's still wearing.
Share your observations with the listeners.
He's in full jersey. He's full go.
Was Graham, he wasn't wearing the red non-contact.
He was off the red jersey today.
Full go.
I don't want this other hamburger.
Copen was really happy to be
back. You're wasting a lot of food there.
I know. I'm trying to talk instead of eating.
Right. Copen is doing some stuff, but I still don't see him doing a lot of team stuff and a lot of...
And he admitted that he wasn't 100%.
So he's still a ways to go. I mean, he's not playing this week, maybe not next week.
I think Copen... very much along the same lines as Rodney. I think there's a good chance that he's a game day inactive early in the season.
I think Copen's further behind. I think Rodney's a chance for day one. I don't really expect to see Copen day one.
It's harder to quantify with Copen because it's a shoulder injury, so you can't see him running around and say, wow, he's really affected by it. But I haven't seen him have an ounce of contact in the two practices that I've seen him take
Both Copen and Graham were wearing full shoulder pads today, and the rest of the team were in the shells.
Seymour looks fine to me.
Who?
I think
Seymour,
yeah.
Seymour
looks
fine.
Somebody asked me outside if I thought they'd see any of these guys. I would say the only guy we could see is Seymour.
Yeah.
To me, he had a relatively minor injury, a tightening of the quad. He's been out there in all the team drills, and I think there's a chance. I don't know if you'd want to push it for any reason, but I think he could.
I wasn't out of practice this morning. Was Miss Jackson out there?
Nope. No.
Okay. Now, that's a problem. And anyone
about him on the who's
and,
not.
And anybody who doesn't think that this is a problem doesn't understand football. Because rookie receivers who miss weeks of training camp are not coming in and going to catch 60
Well, with the exception
balls.
Of Terry Glenn.
Keep
I
it
mean,
low.
You know.
That's a big chunk of my commentary that you just recited.
Well, Fred, there's the exceptions to the rule. If Jackson's one of them, God bless him. I'm going by history, NFL history here. It doesn't happen often.
You're right, and it is a concern. Chance.
But you are right to mention Terry Glenn because he did miss a significant portion of his rookie training camp. Matter of fact, he was inactive game one in Miami that year in 1996. Came back week two in Buffalo, caught about a 40-yard touchdown pass from...
Who?
From who?
DB?
Drew Bledsoe.
Got Zolak?
And ended up catching 90 balls that year, and obviously was a major part of the Super Bowl run.
Yep. So, but
to
Tom's
the,
right.
Tommy's point.
Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick, and Matt Castle's going to come right in. No.
Tom's right. The
that
rule
still
is
happens once
it's
in a
hard
while.
For a first-year receiver to make a big impact anyway. And when you miss this type of time.
And I understand. I understand he's injured, and that's why he's not on the field. But my point is he's got to get back at some point because you got guys with one leg and one shoulder that are out there practicing, and he tweaked a hamstring, and he came out for a couple of practices.
Well,
now he's out again.
See, I'm not willing to challenge his whether he's hurt or not hurt. I just think he's done. He can no longer, in my mind, have a huge impact as a rookie. I think that's you've missed too many of the practice actions. No, you've missed too much practice. You've missed too much and the one time you were out there, you were in a drill where your coach wouldn't throw you the ball because you didn't know the route you were running.
And Andy's
he's
not
too
alone.
Far behind.
Andy's right. not alone in this. There was a question asked in the press conference basically asking that very same, you know, that same line of thinking. I mean, Bill, you know, not surprisingly was evasive in the answer, but
right.
Well, you know, has he gotten to the point where, you know, maybe, I don't know, you change your expectations, you know, well, where you thought he would contribute, you know, in his rookie year, you might have to lower that a little bit. I don't know
we do.
The right word.
Well,
no, I know. And
I mean,
Bill's answer to that was, we don't place a level of expectation or contribution
anyone.
On anybody.
And
we were talking,
he can't change his level because it's not like he has a guy ready to slide. Oh, well, you know what? Jackson won't catch 60, but Bam Childress will? I mean, who are you going to slide into
well,
the perceived role?
That's the thing. You know,
nobody there.
Assuming Branch comes back at some point, he's number one, but who's number two? Who is number two right now? And I think we were all saying that, you know, perhaps Jackson could be it. Now it's Rashay Caldwell, who looks pretty good in practice.
I think Rashay Caldwell has had an excellent camp.
He looks very, but we're comparing against Bam Childress and John Stone.
No question.
And Kevin Kite and my guy, Kieran Henry. That's who we're... You know, comparing him to.
Oh, that's all.
And he looks great compared to those guys.
We won't know until they line up against the Bills, which actually have a pretty good secondary. They don't have pretty good anything, really.
Yeah, they have Clements and McGee. Well, McGee's a little shaky, but Clements is as good as the...
But as far as starting corners go, that's pretty good.
Well, so let's talk a little bit positive.
Can I just say one thing in regard...
You want to stay in the negative?
I want to stay in the negative for a second. You know what? I just wanted to... Actually, you could conceive it a positive, Fred, if you really think about it.
If you're not a Patriots fan.
No. Tom was talking about the hamstring problem as being, you know, guys are coming back, and I think a hamstring injury for a wide receiver especially is a major injury. And I don't think that it's to be taken lightly.
Dante Stallworth had one for 3 years.
Right, but I think we're kind of wondering why he hasn't been out there and whatnot. And I cut him some slack there. That's why I said
if you're
seen too many receivers
have
just
to
have
run
a linger
hamstring
for the whole year.
Injury. You can't run with a hamstring.
And again,
you can't run at less than 100% at wide receiver.
But I think part of that around here is again Terry Glenn, because there are some people who may or may not have had hamstring injuries that use them as an excuse not to be on the football field.
I got the feeling that Bill was a little frustrated with him the other day at his press conference when he did actually practice.
Right.
And the question was
I got that feeling as well.
The answer he gave seemed like he was frustrated.
But at
him.
That point, he didn't even know he was not going to be practicing again very
right.
soon.
Right, he thought
so
he was back.
So maybe now
he
he's
just
really
been trying to tweak him to get him to work extra hard to catch up from the, what did he miss, like 3 or 4 days? He might have been trying to push a button there. Now it's well beyond that. You know, he's not even an option at this point.
Well, you know.
Okay, now you can move on to your positive.
Moving to the positive, with the return of Harrison, I think that the Patriots secondary is in pretty good shape right now.
I disagree.
Okay. I saw Asante Samuel make just an unbelievable
Asante
play.
Asante Samuel's having a fine camp. Yeah. Fine camp. That one was on last.
Now, I know that you're saying you disagree mostly because you think Ellis Hobbs has not.
I think Ellis Hobbs has had about as bad a camp as you possibly can. The safety situation, to me, is still not solidified. We're talking about Harrison. Well, yeah, I love Rodney Harrison, and 2 years ago he was great, but what are we going to get out of him? Then the other guys, me and Andy were talking
Don't
yesterday.
Doubt him, Tom.
I'm not doubting him.
You're doubting
I'm
him.
I'm just saying, I got to see it first. The guy had a terrible
I'm going to tell him so that he'll have more motivation.
Have to tell him. He'll make it up.
But James Sanders yesterday was in position twice.
Oh, he broke one up today.
Oh, did he?
Same
okay.
exact play, although it was David Thomas running instead of Benjamin Watson.
Yeah, he was
so.
In great position really twice to knock down a pass from Benjamin Watson, and Watson just grabbed it right over him, which I'm still concerned
well,
about the secondary.
I mean, that, should we be more excited that Watson is able to do that, which he should be in his third year? Right?
But you can, you know, you say tomato, I say tomato. I don't know what to tell you.
Second year, whatever.
No, but Sanders is in his second year and Watson's in his third.
Very little time on the field. Watson's supposed to be, you know, projected by national guys as this all-world tight end. Let's hope he makes plays like
that. You got Samuel as your number one corner right now?
Yes.
Okay. Samuel on Harrison, Hobbs on Wayne. Say goodnight.
What about
well, no, you won't do it like that. It's a team
they
defense.
They did it like
Tom.
That. Well, what happened last year? Then they forgot.
Well, you're not gonna look. Wayne and Harrison are gonna catch their balls. It's the total body of work within the game. Right. You know.
In other words,
that's too easy.
If it's not snowing, say goodnight.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, you know.
Well, I think there's a large element of truth to that, Tom. You know, going back to any of the games that they've played, these two teams have played. When they've played in good conditions, it's been good night. When they've played in bad conditions, the Patriots have dominated. I mean,
that's
in the dome, that they scored 34 points.
Well, that's why
on opening
little...
day in 2004, they scored 24
right.
points and fumbled three times in the red zone. I mean,
but
they haven't stopped
them
when the conditions
have
been good.
That's why I'm concerned with the secondary a little bit, because I'm putting them up against the Bengals and teams like that. And Hobbs was the guy I thought was good. See, Samuel is Samuel. We know what we're getting with him.
Right, you
Hobbs
say that, you
was
say
the
that
guy
he made
I thought
some
was
great
gonna
plays.
Step up.
Yeah, sorry, Tom.
And I'm just saying, so Hobbs was that guy, that X factor, and I was really high on him.
But what about Eugene Wilson? What if Hobbs is coming in as your nickel guy?
Well, then
that's I'm not happy about that, because to me, I was like Tom. I thought Hobbs was the guy. After a year, you say maybe he can improve, be a number one type guy. And then they okay. bump Ellis Hobbs. He's rotating with Asante Samuel, and Eugene Wilson's taking all the first team reps. Well, certainly the coaching staff isn't moving Wilson just to screw with things. If they thought Ellis Hobbs was potentially a number one type corner,
no,
he'd be getting all those reps over
the
there.
The whole idea that with that defensive secondary we've seen with Belichick is, you know, let's not get caught up. This guy has to be a strong safety. This guy, he wants to get the best players on the field.
He can mask.
So if he thinks that, you know, Hawkins.
Carl Hawkins is better than Hobbs.
No. If he thinks that Hawkins is one of his better players, he doesn't want to take out off Wilson. So what he's saying is Wilson's better than Hobbs. And I want to.
And I'm saying I don't think that's a good thing, because.
Why not?
Because there was some hope that Hobbs could develop into a starting.
And he still might, but
how do you know there was no hope that Wilson was eventually going to go back to corner and
there
be
could
what
be.
They thought
now
was.
Now Ellis Hobbs is getting bumped out by Hawkins. If they're trying to put their four best
but
on
Ellis
the field.
Hobbs can't play safety. He's tiny. Okay. You know,
then you shouldn't have had hope that he was going to be a number one corner.
I'm just trying to play a little devil's advocate, Andy. I'm not necessarily saying I disagree with you and Tom here, but who's to say what their hopes were for Ellis Hobbs?
Right, I would tell you what mine were.
Right, we're talking about our hopes.
My observations, knowing Asante Samuel is what he is, a starting NFL corner, a two or three.
Yeah, and I agree with
my
that.
Microphone,
that's why
my microphone needs LaVitra.
He banged heads a little bit as a rookie. He played. Maybe he can develop. Maybe he's better than we think he can.
Like I said, I'm not disagreeing with you guys, because I feel the same way. I'm not disagreeing with the philosophy that we thought that maybe he could make a step up and be, you know, a Ty Law in the making.
Right.
You know, not maybe, you know.
I don't believe
unfair.
That anymore.
You feel good writing him
because
up.
Bill Belichick knows more football than me, and he made it evident
exactly,
that he doesn't
know
that.
Who knows what they thought? They might think Eugene Wilson is the Ty Law in the making, but out of necessity recently, he's had to play safety. Maybe last year without Rodney, they said, you know what? We don't think that he was as valuable as a safety as he would be as a corner without Rodney, now's the time to make that transition.
And that may be. All I'm saying is, as but said, I had hopes.
That's huge.
I had hopes for Hobbs, and I know that Bill Belichick knows more about football than me, and he made it clear to me at the start of training camp that his hopes for Hobbs weren't as high as my hopes for Hobbs.
And we all know that. I do have that love affair with
Wilson. I think you're taking
it
a different way. At the start of training camp, he might have said, look, I got enough faith in Hawkins that now we can finally move Wilson back to
corner.
I think
Hawkins is the key.
You can look at it that way, too.
I think they like Hawkins, too. And I had actually gotten into an argument about this because I thought when they signed to Bucky Jones that, you know,
they
wanted Artrell Hawkins over him. But as camp has gone on here, I think I'm wrong. I think Artrell Hawkins is the guy that they like. I think Tabucky Jones is in a fight for...
Well, we need to talk about Tabucky Jones a little bit because his body language out there is
not
one of a guy who's happy.
It's not somebody you want to write a feature story on.
Yeah, he's
not going to be a fine gunner.
He's a little bit of...
He's going to be a pouting gunner. Yeah.
You know, and maybe he's just a veteran who this is training camp and that's the way he is.
Doesn't,
Bruce Armstrong type of guy.
Like
but
Tabucky Jones.
But I'm not sure he's so happy
sure
where
he deserves
where his placement on the depth chart
seems,
right
yeah,
now.
He seems to be falling down the depth chart.
Yeah.
I defended Tabucky to Tom all offseason. I thought it was a good acquisition.
I
watched about three practices of training camp, and I changed my tune. I said, I'm cutting ties with him. I think he's going to get cut.
What made you –
I don't think he's athletic anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the athleticism he once had.
Really?
And if he loses that, he's screwed because he certainly wasn't a heady player.
He told me he could probably dunk a basketball when he's 50. Andy said, I don't think he can dunk a basketball now.
I watched him on the field today. Somebody barely touched him, and he fell over and went almost
and
Chad Brown
too,
on us.
Fred, when he comes out so definitively and demonstratively said that, you know, I'll play special teams, but my days as a gunner are over. That's
playing gunner right now.
And you see him out there doing the gunning stuff and walking around, you know, looking like his dog just died, you know, with his head down and walking back and forth, you know, I don't think that's a good sign.
He might retire. Of course, we won't be reporting it on Patriots.com, but...
Well, we'll have to wait till Mike Reese calls Bill Belichick.
All right, let's take a break, Gary. We'll be right back. We got tons of emails.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Great free kick, diving header by Dempsey!
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twelman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Revs.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
There it is! Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617 931 2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution.
Bill, last week you were asked if Bruce Lee had a broken wrist. You said that I'm sure his wrist is sore. I'm sure that a lot of his body parts are sore. And this morning's paper in the Boston Globe, you confirmed that he had a broken wrist. He was going to miss the preseason. Is this a new policy that you just let different people know on occasion about who's hurt? I thought your policy was to not talk about injuries.
Well, in this particular case, the information was new information, and I was asked a question, so I answered it truthfully.
Right. And
as I did the week before.
Right. But you wouldn't think that you would wait for this press conference today to avail everyone of the same information. So could I?
I imagine everybody else has got it.
I don't think they do. I'd like it too, so I could call you one occasionally if there's something that important or very important.
Stacy, do you have a phone, cell phone? Any type of a? Do you have a number here at the stadium that they could call? I'm sure we can get you that information. We got to have a cell phone number for Stacy somewhere.
You know, I think that. And by the way, we're back here at PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch, Annie Hart, Tom Casale, Kyle.
Fred, if you were there, you could have given him the hotline number to listen to the podcast.
There you go. But I think Alan Greenberg's frustration is not that. It's just that preferential treatment.
Yeah.
You know, that's his main
threat. And that's why I could see from their perspective why there was a problem.
Well, we've had the same problem for years.
Well, I know, but without getting into too much detail here. I think we understand the parameters that we work under, and we've accepted it. We've moved on. I don't have any problem with what happened from a personal level.
Well, the thing is, if there was a statement issued last night,
I have empathy for the other writers.
Even Patriots.com didn't get it.
Right. No, we got nothing.
You know?
Right.
The only statement we got that was Ross Tucker was traded.
Andy, my point being that for us professionally, I don't have any problem with what happened. But from a professional standpoint, being, you know, showing some empathy for the other writers who don't have the same parameters.
Well,
that
I don't.
Do.
For most of those guys, I don't have any empathy because they don't work hard.
See, I don't like the way you just paint with a broad brush.
I've seen them.
I don't think every one of those guys doesn't work hard.
Not everyone.
I wholeheartedly agree with your premise of the whole sharing quotes. Thing. I hate that. I hate it. I've always hated it. And I do think there's too much, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But I don't think that every one of those other guys in there is sitting back doing nothing and waiting for the next day's press conference to get their story.
I think not all of them, but I think there's a good amount that
does. Alan Greenberg is not one of those guys.
Alan Greenberg is the most experienced and proven writer in that room.
He's not one of them. He is not one of them.
I mean, he has a longer career than Bill, right? I mean, he's been around. The guy's worked for major. It's not like he's, just coasted for 30 years on the same beat and, he's only dealt with one. He's been in the business a long time. So for him to be that irritated to make it a part of the, I think says something.
My guess is he did call last night and then didn't get
said
the information.
Did.
And
he,
that's
said,
what,
he that, said he did.
That's probably what irritated him, is right. He called and then he read it in the Globe
and
should. Wanted to know.
And I would be irritated too. Yeah. All right, let's. Should we get to some emails? Unless anyone has anything,
let's get back to the team. Absolutely.
All right,
Kyle's got nothing to say. Go ahead,
Kyle. You don't have anything to say. Notice you're wearing a Boston Red Sox hat today.
They're dead.
Broncos. No, you're not allowed to wear those here.
Broncos hat is dirty.
They're D-E-D, dead. D-U-N, done.
Yeah. Screw the Sox. Well, so now they're even out of the wild card, right? Because the White Sox won. Or
yeah, I think they're half.
Hard to get the wild card, Fred, when you can't beat the Royals.
That's right. Right. Anyway,
I think we didn't trade John Lester. He's untouchable.
All right, we've got a lot of emails, and I really want to take this moment to thank all our listeners because the amount of emails that we're getting yesterday and today in advance of this show just shows me that everyone's really
and yet not reading
excited about. Shut up, Gary. Excited about
this
the
is
Patriots.
My show. Shut up.
And I just want to thank everyone for listening and contributing to the show. We don't do that enough.
No, and a lot of them are good emails.
Shall we sit back
thank
and
you very much.
Sing Kumbaya?
Thank you very much.
No, I just
thank
think
you
that, most of these people are probably at work, so they're kind of juggling. They're trying to, you know, do more than one thing at a time. So it's, you know, it's not like we're on at prime time and it's you just sit down on your couch and, you know, they have to make an effort.
Right. Getting a little undrafted rookie free agent out of LSU over there.
All right. I made a mistake. I said that Deion Branch was from LSU when, in fact, he's from Louisville.
I was referencing.
Andy, I don't even know his name.
You've morphed into my Aunt Camilla. It's unbelievable.
It wasn't. Andy caught it in the editing rounds, which is his job, and I thanked him for it.
But of course, I probably would have read right over it.
Every time I catch something in Andy's story, I'm going to throw it in his face.
In Andy's defense, you didn't just say he went to LSU. You made a whole Saban
If he went to LSU, then I am.
But it would have been a great edit letter had he gone to LSU. But Andy's point was he was referencing Randall Gay.
An undrafted rookie free agent cornerback out of LSU. Oh,
that's what I was referencing. You were being a little gay there.
I was being defensive. Okay. All right.
Clearly, that's a touchy subject that I would be referencing.
Undrafted free agent out of LSU-ish.
I'm really afraid this thing's going to, like, spring up and hit me in the bottom of the chin.
I don't care for it.
I don't
I don't like change.
You come in, you're surprised by all
too fancy.
Yeah. Okay, let's see.
Change as much as Belichick likes press conferences.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Gary, let's take... No, I'm only kidding. He looked at me like...
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman.
All right, no. All right, Jason writes in, he goes, guys, I don't want to talk about the most negative thing, but what is going on with Branch? Usually when there is an offer made, there is a counteroffer, and it is my understanding that there wasn't one, and so why... And so they are entrenched. What is the neophyte agent doing to Branch? I know the Pats will not remain hostage to any holdout, so when will they make a move for a big-time wideout and leave Branch sitting and waiting? I think by the third game. What if he sits out till the 10th and comes back and attempts to disrupt the team? Do the Patriots have any option, or must they put up with his grumblings? My thoughts are, he stays out that long, and he will be inactive the rest of the year. A poor move by Chiat, that's the agent's name, by not getting this done. My guess is if Branch moves on, he will have already had his career highlights as compared to David Givens. Wish it would end better, but it's not happening. And then he wants to know if there are any other rookies looking good.
I haven't heard any updates in terms of
Kelvin Kite.
I haven't heard any other rumors about the negotiations other than what we've read. Chiat. Did you find that's how you pronounce
Mike
it?
Mike Chiat.
I was told Jason Chiat.
Chiat.
But you can go with Mike
you got the first name wrong.
This is Neil Chiat looking at the law.
The only thing I would say is he's not. I think he's giving his client some poor advice, but he's not a neophyte agent.
He's a rube.
He's been around. I mean, neophyte is a rookie. Yeah, he's inexperienced.
And you know what?
He's been around.
We can get on the agent, right. And that's fine because he is mishandling this. But at some point, Branch has to take some responsibility and say, listen,
yes, like Watson did with Tom Condon.
Yeah, you know?
Perfect example.
But like we were talking about this earlier before you guys came down, ESPN, you know, they don't tell you what their sources are. But I heard last night they said someone close to Branch said he's ready to sit out a good portion of the season.
I have
this.
Talking to somebody who talked to the agent of quite a lot, that's one thing that they feel is misrepresented, that Deion Branch is entrenched in this. He has dug his heels in. This is something he's been looking at since the end of last year and knew was going to be a battle. And it's his feelings, not just that he's being told what to do by a money-hungry agent.
Yeah, well, and the point that I think, you know, and I'm writing about for the commentary in this whole situation is not necessarily about Branch, but about the receiver situation. Whatever he felt going into camp, he's got to feel his position is that much stronger based on what's happened in camp.
Right.
I mean, Caldwell has been great, but Jackson
the last
hasn't
couple
stepped.
Couple of days, it's kind of changed.
You know, and Jackson hasn't stepped on the field. You know,
they signed Eddie Berlin.
And then they have a bunch of other guys. I mean, they're signing Eddie Berlin, who Tom was so disgusted about yesterday, I couldn't even believe it. I never even heard of the guy.
Swearing tirade.
It's Tom's little binky Kelvin Kite or Caron Henry or Rich Musinski or Eric Davis or John Stone, any of these guys. I mean, they make the old Patriots receivers of like Shockman Davis and Curtis Jackson look like the three amigos.
Well, in my defense, Kelvin Kite was my pick for the practice squad.
Right.
He wasn't my pick
none
to come in here and catch
none of these
balls.
Guys has shown any ability to be an NFL receiver, in my opinion.
Branch
might be sitting back and saying, my leverage is as strong as ever.
Also in your defense, Tom, I talked to Eddie Berlin today.
He said he stunk?
Basically. He said he had a lot of thrust to knock off. because, quote, I haven't put on a helmet since the end of last year, and, you know, it's hard to find quarterbacks to throw with you because most people are playing football, so I didn't really have anybody to throw to.
So he didn't get recently cut.
No. Yeah, he said he hasn't done anything really
cut
since
after
the end of last
season.
Year. He hasn't put a helmet on.
Because I was actually, yeah.
So.
I'll have to make fun of the bad thoughts I had for a question during the camp because I thought that he was, in camp this summer.
He said he hasn't been able to find anybody to throw
just,
the football.
If they had just signed Hank Baskett, they'd have had a starting wide receiver right now like the Eagles do.
That was your guy. And we have an email about that, by the way, later on, Tom. I'll get to. But Phil from Austin writes,
fans only remember what they want.
Guys, your audio coverage of training camp this year has been great. Thanks for giving us hardcore fans their fix. On the video side, would it be possible to show us the goal line drills and maybe some two-minute drills? No.
No, because they're at the end of practice when cameras are shut off.
Yes, as Andy said, what happens is the cameras are allowed to film, the first 20, 30 minutes, but then there's a time where they have to shut off their cameras, and that's when they get into the team drills. So, unfortunately, we'd love to show you two-minute drills and goal line drills. We're not allowed.
So, basically, the only way to see it is to get here and
make
in a
practice. Guess is that Bill isn't going to invite the NFL Network in to do inside training.
Yeah, we're not one of those
Patriots.
Teams that are...
Hey, Fred, let me ask you.
We'll invite the Globe, too.
You guys probably know the answer to this because you've been around.
When I was 14.
I know. Yeah, how many times are you going to use that joke?
Every not funny, anyway.
Plus, I'm not buying it anyway.
You don't know what the question was.
Why don't the Patriots, and Paul had told me that they did it with the Giants a couple years ago, but why don't they scrimmage with other teams? Do they not believe in that?
They have in the past. I think just because of our location, maybe it's kind of a trek. I don't know.
More of a location thing.
I think
so. Baltimore and Washington.
I think
together.
So. The Giants have come up in the past when we were at Bryant.
I'm not sure Bill likes it.
You know, I have an idea.
Control.
You know, by the way, I was just rethinking this whole preseason thing, and I have a whole idea to restructure preseason.
Great.
He
I really do.
10 seconds.
I really think that teams would get more of a benefit out of controlled scrimmages where you can do things with the other coach and work that out. What you do is you have three controlled scrimmages in one preseason game, and the controlled scrimmages, you charge one-third the face value of the ticket to the fans
to
come
see. Well,
you
just eliminated that as a possibility because we know the only reason why preseason games even exist.
No, but you have more of them. So, you know, you have more...
Are season ticket holders forced to buy these one-third tickets?
Yes. Yeah, but you have more of them.
Do you have more of them? You just said three.
No, you have three. Instead of two preseason games at home, you have three home scrimmages against another team. You know?
How does everybody have home scrimmages?
When do we stop this? When do we pull the plug on this?
Is it possible for everybody to be at home?
I'm not a smart man, and I don't do the math so good. But how does everybody have three home ones?
No, so instead of four events, you have six events per year.
I don't think you're going to get
for preseason
to want to do that.
Do that next email.
No, I just think it would benefit the teams more than these preseason games, which... are ridiculous
ask about that in the press conference tomorrow.
He's not. I just do what they tell me to do. Phil from Austin says, questions. How does David Thomas compare with Christian Fourier?
Compare? Christian Fourier couldn't even carry that guy's luggage in an airport.
Oh, no.
Give me a break.
In terms of a receiver, I agree with Tom.
Yeah. Well, as a blind.
I never saw stuff out of Christian Fourier that I've seen out of Thomas as a pure receiver. Now, I think
one thing I'll say about Fourier, he was pretty dependable.
Fourier,
I don't
all-around game, I think Fourier was a very dependable wide receiver.
Yeah. He didn't screw up a lot, and when he was open, he caught the ball. He just couldn't run with it afterwards.
Yeah, right. You can't find third receivers like that. I mean, it took him 5 seconds to get Walter Rasby.
Okay.
Oh, he's more of a receiver than Rasby.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying.
I'll be honest with you. I thought Christian Fourier was a pretty good third tight end, and I haven't seen Dave Thomas do it in a game yet and see him block
but
or motion.
I don't think Dave Thomas is a third tight end. I
think
he's
going to be
more
than
contributor.
But I also I think Fourier was solid. I think he was more than a third tight end during the bulk of his career. And I also think that Walter Rasby, this guy's been around for 12 years. He's not a terrible player. This guy's been around. He's a blocking tight end.
My point, you can pick those guys up off the street.
Right, but I don't think that's what Christian Fourier is. I think Christian Fourier is a good, solid second banana tight end that could catch and block a little bit.
I don't think
he catches nearly as well as David Thomas does, but I think that Christian Fourier, throughout his career, has been a 30-some-odd catch guy who could make plays.
I'll give you this. Without him, and if Klecko gets cut, that's going to be one non-funny locker room.
Especially in that one area.
Yeah.
I always thought Christian Fourier had fine hands.
Yeah, you know,
I
don't think he has bad
hands. I just don't
hands.
Think he's that much of a threat in the passing game. Not as a,
no,
just as a pure ability to
catch.
I'm not saying he's Rod Rutledge. I'm just talking about
Thomas
his ability to make
receiver,
plays. In the, yes.
As we saw when he tried to block.
Given the situation at receiver, in Tom's opinion of Jonathan Sullivan's performance so far, would the Patriots be better off if they hadn't made that trade?
I believe yes, no. I mean, if we're looking back.
I don't, because I already see that Bethel Johnson's been in the hospital getting treated for heat exhaustion.
Right. Well, it's the same thing when the trade was made.
I
Who cares? But I just,
exactly. I feel the same way I did then.
Trash for trash.
If Bethel Johnson is trying as hard as Jonathan Sullivan is in New Orleans, then they'll both be on the street in 10 minutes.
Well, Jonathan Sullivan, though, I mean, you have hopes that maybe he'll come here. We were watching him yesterday,
awful.
And, man, the guy just gets moved around to the point where after the drill, Belichick actually went up to him for some one-on-one coaching. I mean, either he's not trying or he's not strong. It's one or the other.
It's something.
You wonder. You
know, I'm going with both.
Yeah, I mean, you guys.
Is that Kyle?
Is his mic on?
I don't know. Is your mic on?
I turned it off.
Oh, boy. There it is.
I'm back.
You're back. Now, what did you have to say, Kyle?
I don't remember.
He said that Sullivan was getting pushed around by rookies even.
No, he really was.
You guys were telling me about one.
Was just picking him up and throwing him.
Which
is a problem because he's not exactly a big, strong rookie. He's a guy who's more of a cerebral rookie.
It almost looked like wrestling, Andy, where Sullivan was helping him. You know how you help someone by?
Right. One, two, three, cha-cha-cha.
Missing Andre the Giant. Yeah. Andre had a jump up in the air for him.
And Hogan didn't know till the exact moment that it happened if Andre was going to let him do it.
Rob in Ashburn, Virginia, good show last week. Just wanted to know if any of you watched the Hall of Fame game. The best part of the game was when I flipped over to the NFL Network to see what repeat they were showing. A surprise,
cheerleaders.
They were showing the making of the San Diego Chargers cheerleader team.
Well,
and these women were on a scavenger hunt, and one of the items they had to collect was a picture of Tom Brady, and one of the cheerleaders commented where they were going to find a picture of the black comedian. Finally, one of the other cheerleaders finally realized that was Wayne Brady, not Tom Brady. Thank you, NFL. That would have been funny. Yeah.
You got it, Gary?
Gary watches all the cheerleader things. Also, why no Jeff Posey in the New England talk? He was cut on Monday.
I'm sure Belichick knows they need linebacker depth more than we do. I'm sure they have every linebacker in the world scouted. If they felt like he was going to fit into their system, they'd pick him up in 2 seconds.
You know what?
That's what I think.
I'm going to morph into Fred here. If they don't pick him up, that means that he's not any good.
Right, that's what
I totally trust Belichick here.
And to be fair, you're also trusting the other 31 teams who haven't picked him up.
No, but
yet.
What I'm saying is exactly
right out there
and
sign
him. But what Tom just said, you know, they obviously know that they need some depth at linebacker. They obviously know their system. If they don't pick him up, they don't think that he can help in their system.
Right. Right, but all I'm saying is 31 other teams agree.
Can he name his deal? Maybe he's wanting.
He just got cut.
I know, but still, maybe he says, I'm not going to play unless I get this, and I'm happy
to
not
play. Law. He's not Malloy that got cut as a cap casualty.
But it may not be much that he's asking that the Patriots aren't willing to pay.
But I thought like what Belichick said last week, they're not looking necessarily for always the best players, but for players that fit their system.
Right.
And obviously this isn't a guy who fits their system, or he probably have been in here at least for training camp.
Yeah.
By the way, word on the street is Rashawn Woods is injured right now. Failed his physical, that's why he was...
I'm not buying it.
I figured.
Let's
see. You just make up whatever fits your little heads game.
Is there anything that you've ever bought?
They cut him because he's injured.
And before you say that doesn't happen, watch yourself.
But they just traded for him, and it's a guy who has some kind of physical ability.
Just telling you what I heard.
The pieces of the puzzle are not fitting in on that story. That's all
telling
I'm telling
you what I heard.
Todd writes in, all right, guys, we know that Teddy did in fact break his wrist, but does anyone know if it's the scaphoid bone. I think that's how you pronounce it, scaphoid.
Scaphoid, but that's
what's been reported. Also, do you see the Pats going after Jeff Posey? We just talked about that. Not sure if they should be seeing as how the Bills released him, but we really need more depth at linebacker, especially in light of Teddy's injury and the possible seriousness of it. Also, why is Chad Brown not on the field?
He's hurt.
He is hurt. He has another wrist injury,
hand.
Maybe? A hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did he say today?
That his hand is sore or something.
He said
somebody asked him about the hand, and he referenced the hand.
He did say his hand
it
is
was
sore.
It was Alan asked him at the end of the...
Well, so now Alan, from now on, Alan should ask all the injury questions because he dares not, not answer them. So.
But just to mention, Fred, about the linebacker depth, they got Barry Gardner starting right now. He hasn't played a lot since 2000. It's 2006.
Well, that's Don long Davis, who was a safety a year and a half ago.
It's Beisel
and Gardner,
right,
I think,
now
would be better than Beisel and Brown was last year, but not much.
And it's no better on the outside, where today the first group was Vrabel and Colvin. Obviously, the second group was Colvin and Banta Kane. So they don't even have enough guys to go too deep in a group on the outside linebackers.
It's disconcerting.
Yeah.
As we all know, Roger Goodell was named the new commissioner, and Todd writes, after reading about Roger Goodell a little and knowing that he started out as a PR intern and is now the most powerful man in sports, I can only cheer him on. He represents the little guy that has made it. Kind of gives me hope that I won't be a freaking temp for the rest of my life. Yahoo for Roger and Yahoo for school, Billy Madison. By the way,
oh my God, that is funny.
By the way, you ain't cool unless you pee your pants. Keep up the good work, and thank you for the podcast. It's the only way I can find out what's going on with the team here in Jacksonville. And thank you, Mrs. B, for your podcast and MB write-ups. What's MB?
Who knows?
Mrs. B.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, Tom.
Wasn't one Andy Hart once a PR intern?
Yeah, that gravy train hasn't really carried me along.
That scares the hell right out of me.
He's a PR intern. He's now GM of the world champion Red Sox. This guy's running the NFL, and I'm working for
How old is Theo?
I've got to start being nicer to you. I got to start being nicer to you.
I said to Fred, though, out there, I said the same thing. I said, does that mean I could own this team one day? And he laughed.
Rodney from Roberson, North Carolina. Love the show.
Not Harrison.
Catch the podcast at Training Camp Daily. See, I told you guys you should do those.
What's that, Paul?
Everybody loves them.
We're doing them.
I heard some of the guys saying that it was a bit tough to get material for the Campcast, but I assure you it's worth it. Nowhere else other than PFW can I get this news that I look for every day. Again, keep up the good work. Looking forward to additional podcasts as the season begins.
Just as a point of clarification, we have no problems getting information for the podcasts.
We
have a problem delivering it in a professional, somewhat coherent manner, because none of us knows what we're doing.
We suck.
We're not good.
All right, Steve is from Nebraska. I was going to say Steve Lincoln from Nebraska, but I think he's from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Or extra Ron in New Hampshire.
He says, well, I have to hand it to Tom. The early returns are looking good on most of his draft predictions. I wanted Darnell Bing in the second round here to play safety, and he not only went in round four, like Tom said, he's switching positions, so he must not be a very good safety. Then I'm watching the Eagles-Raiders game the other night, and I see Hank Baskett starting. I couldn't believe it. Tom was talking about him on draft podcast I listened to, and the bum didn't even get drafted. Now he's starting in the NFL. That's pretty good. I have to admit it. Tom, I thought, was full of a lot of hot air, but that was one of his sleepers. Also, I hear Jarius Norwood is pushing T.J. Duckett for the backup running back job in Atlanta, and Oliver Hoyt is getting praised by the linebackers coach in Dallas and has already outlasted Kai Parham. I have to give Tom his props. I am watching his draft predictions closely because he was so confident and so far so good. Maybe the Patriots should make him a scout, but then the only position he would be able to break down is tight end. Keep up the good work, and tell Andy if the Pats don't win 12 games this year, he can stop giving tours to annoying fans.
The Pats don't win 12 games this
year. Don't you have a bet with somebody if the Pats win? You have to give. I said that you
must because of the tours Fred keeps booking you for.
And why can you only scout tight ends?
Because that's all.
That's all they draft, I guess.
Okay, I see what you did there.
All right, so Tom
Kuiper Jr.
Tom's the man. You know,
I'm keeping my eye on Oliver Hoyt, and I was excited to see Kai Parham, but Hoyt's running with the third team right now, so we're hoping practice
squad.
We're hoping practice squad there.
Tom is the man of the family.
I got to be honest with you, man. Hank Baskett blew my mind away. When I heard he was starting that preseason game, I picked up the phone, I called Andy, I said, can you believe this? So that one even surprised me.
Plus, he based it on absolutely nothing to start with, except the guy told him he was the best blocking wide receiver in the draft.
I know talent when I see it.
You were wasn't over performing what
Andy
wanted
Hart
to do.
Was over gushing over Vince Young while I was doing real draft work.
By the way, if we're going to play that game, I'll still take my Vince Young versus your Hank Baskett.
Why? Fred, were the Patriots going to draft Vince Young?
No.
Then I had no interest in him.
I work
for the New England Patriots, and I try to find out information for this team. I don't care about Vince Young.
There you go, Tom.
So you failed because they didn't draft him. You didn't fit the system.
Tom at the Combine was the only guy sitting with Hank Baskett doing an interview while everyone else, all the sycophants, were all over with Vince Young.
With the future Hall of Famer.
I got the starter, baby.
Staff Sergeant Zakai Jabbar Robinson from Stanford, Connecticut.
People starting that don't deserve to be in the league anymore. don't think that's not lost either.
Staff Sergeant Zakai Jabbar Robinson, former Marine, now with the Air Force, writes in, just want to say thanks for all the work you do getting fans updated every day on the Patriots news. Look forward to all of the podcasts, and regardless of what you think, you guys do a pretty good job. I was watching ESPN yesterday. I believe the show was on the line, and they were talking about the holdout situation between Branch and the Pats. Supposedly, it's reported that Branch's camp is prepared to hold out well into the season. My question is, do you think it will go that far? And if it does, who comes out on top?
Branch's absence is unexcused.
One quick note, Fred. They just showed your PFW dynasty on TV.
There you go, on ESPN.
Fred's finest hour.
Yep.
I've never been as adamantly in support of something that we've done as I was with that cover. I thought that was
all over
absolute brilliance.
When Paul was sitting home watching that on TV.
That's true. Matter of fact, I was in the hospital. But
who comes out on top in the Branch Patriots thing?
If right it goes now, into nobody. The season, they both lose.
You know what? If it gets into the season, they both lose.
Right. They don't have a good receiver, and Branch loses out because I think it makes him look bad. And
plus,
you got
chances are
in like 3 days. Is he gonna owe the Patriots money?
I was going to say,
Branch could, if it gets into the season and then he comes back and he somehow plays great, I suppose he could really win because, you know, he's showing how good he is, that he can miss all that time. But chances are he doesn't play that well.
Right.
And you get into the season, the Patriots now have a disruption mid-season. They're without their best wide receiver until that point, whenever it may be.
They don't throw him the football.
Who knows? Yeah,
best case scenario, he comes out on top. And maybe it's just because I'm new here, but I'm amazed that he's held out this long. I mean, once I read that the fines would add up to, what, like 60% of what he would make this year, if he were to hold out through all of training camp, I mean, I was pretty convinced that he wasn't going to do that just because it seems like such a bad financial
move. Yeah, but with him, he's looking at 500 grand versus 20X million dollars.
No, I know.
I mean, that's how he's looking.
What do you guys think?
Who knows who's paying it?
Yeah. Right.
What do you guys think of the reports by ESPN's Michael Smith that Branch told Javon Walker not to come here because he's not going to get any money? You think that's true, or you think it's starting to get around the league?
Well, I think it's already around the league. I think that's out there.
No, because McGinnis left. Now he's starting to.
I told you,
little
Keyshawn.
They ought to give him Tom Brady and Richard Seymour's number and have them talk about what money they got. Let's see. Finally, Staff Sergeant Robinson
says. The
other
side of that is a little bit longer, though, Fred.
By the way, I think for every team it is. By the way, I like the fact that for the most part, all of you have an opinion and stick with it. Oh, and Kyle, if you're going to be part of the show, you have to step up your game, player. So there you go. Even the fans.
As long as Tom doesn't turn off my mic, I might be able to step up my game.
Listen,
player
in all honesty, everybody, what he said when his mic was off didn't make a damn bit of difference.
Wow.
Oh. Ouch.
Would pretty much go for everything we say on the show.
let's see.
Five microphones.
We eliminate it to him.
Ray writes in, out of the boredom the other day, I rewatched the Patriots' victory over the Colts in the divisional round from 2 years ago. One of the things I will always love about that game is Belichick's comment afterwards where he said something along the lines of, okay, that was 60 minutes of our best football, and really it was if Eugene Wilson didn't have butterfingers in the end zone right before the half, they'd have shut the Colts out. Anyhow, in watching that game, it dawned on me just how different this team is from that team, especially in regards to linebacker depth. Let's see. This is, of course, a topic you guys have been going on for about a while, but it took seeing how good we had it for me to really notice. So needless to say, I'm concerned now, whereas before I had that new school blind Patriots bravado. I don't know what the plan is, but I'm sure it's a good one.
Otherwise known as Fred Kirschitis.
Anyhow, I just read that Jeff Posey was released, so he's wondering about Jeff Posey. We talked about that. More importantly, he says, I recently made a very bold, albeit somewhat drunk, statement. Ellis Hobbs will go down as the best third-round pick in Patriots history. Now that I'm sober, I don't
that's
know.
That's called Tom Casali-itis.
Maybe I just
wrote this, me
drunk.
And Fred.
Teddy Bruschi, Curtis Martin.
Yeah,
right off the top
Martin.
Of my head.
Hall of Fame running back.
Now that I'm sober, I don't know that I stand behind that statement quite so much. Weren't Bruschi and Curtis Martin third rounders?
Oh,
though, I'd love for him to prove me right anyway. I was wondering if you guys felt like postulating on who you thought were the best picks in Patriots history from each round 1 to 9.
Only
I know you
Paul
have nothing better to do and have access to that sort of information. Also, are Mortensen and Bramlett really that useless? Can one of those
yes.
guys work
yes.
up the chutzpah to ask Coach Bill what the hell he's thinking keeping them around?
Well, let me ask Paul and Andy. I threw this out before you came in. We were talking about how we're not really impressed with Castle and my whole backup quarterback for the 4 to 5 game thing. I said if he struggles badly against the Falcons, I threw out the name Vinny Testaverde as a one-year kind of stopgap guy who Bill knows, who could come in for 3 games, hand the ball off, you know, take a couple shots down the field. Do you think that would be a possibility?
I think it is.
I do as well. I think it's a possibility. However, I think that Castle has played he played fairly well in the preseason last year, and I'm not expecting him to go out and lay an egg against Atlanta. He played with the ones to open the preseason last year against Cincinnati and looked really good. Now, it wasn't just he looked good because we were expecting nothing. For a preseason game, he looked good. Now, there were a lot of instances in the game, and we've seen it in practice, where a play breaks down. It doesn't run right. It doesn't go the way it was supposed to go. He can make some plays with his feet. In the preseason, you know, the caliber of player chasing you around isn't as high. I'd be surprised if he looked that bad that you'd be sitting there, clamoring for it. But I do think Vinny Testaverde is in the back.
The thing about Castle, we've seen in practice that, you know, when the routes don't get open, his decision-making isn't that quick. And, you know, I worry that when teams focus on the – let's say Castle's starting and you're game planning for Castle for the whole week – you know, like they used to do with Drew Bledsoe, if teams wanted to confuse him, it was very easy to do so.
And before we get into that little pissing match between you two,
I won't take the bait on that.
Tom Brady has had problem finding open receivers in practice, and I think that speaks more to the receivers than either of the first quarterbacks.
That's a definite
because
problem.
There's been a lot of plays that have been blown dead with Tom Brady just looking.
Point.
And when you have Matt Shelton and Eric Davis trying to get open, that's going to happen on occasion.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
I think it's
a very good point. Especially
beat up Matt Castle like Paul has been on the web.
I've especially noticed that.
The smartest guy on the team.
I've especially noticed that in the two-minute work. Now, I think it was yesterday afternoon they had an excellent two-minute drill with Brady at the helm. The only other one I think that would compare is one that Andy witnessed at the night practice
stadium.
In the stadium.
Tremendous.
That you talked about.
Tremendous.
Most
they
of
went
the
down
other,
and scored. Yeah.
Most of the other two-minute drills that they've had have sputtered.
Unfortunately, it was Kevin Falk, Troy Brown with the bulk of that drive, so you didn't.
Well,
you didn't
this one
learn
wasn't
as much.
Like that.
No,
this
I know.
Was three big
but
plays.
That's the one thing I took from that drill. Oh, okay, it's great. Kevin Falk and Troy Brown can still do what they've done for the fast 5 years, but you're not developing anybody. We're supposed to be seeing some new blood here, right? Givens is gone. Somebody needs to step up. That hasn't happened yet.
Jeremy says, "What's up with the NFL? Have you seen the new referee uniforms? Please tell me that the uniforms I saw the refs wearing on Sunday night are just temporary. What are your thoughts on the new uniforms? I think they're awful." Well, now, hold on for a second.
I didn't like
them. Are we
either.
Really concerned about what the refs look like?
I was gonna
is
say,
that a new item in the NFL shop now?
I was going to say.
Well, why do we care?
I agree that they were grotesque looking, but who cares?
If we should desk at Ken Plant as a stadium.
People are worried about their calls.
Prohibit items from being
maybe
discussed.
Maybe we can ask Ken if
they're
going to start
open on this show.
No, I didn't say
referee
that.
Uniform
I didn't say you can't discuss it.
There's Vinny.
They were ugly.
I heard a very good theory on why they changed the shirts.
To make them look bigger?
No.
Faster, sleeker?
You know, there is a certain referee. When everyone thinks of referee, they think of those stripes. And really, in a lot of sports that have those stripes, it's the same thing, you know. But the NFL's trying to get away from, whether it's video games or commercials, using likenesses of players or referees in the commercials. So if they have a unique looking shirt, unless that commercial wants to replicate the shirt, then they can't have the likeness of the ref
like
anymore.
Miller Lite or
and
something?
If they do, then they can say, hey, you're definitely using an NFL referee shirt. You need to pay us a royalty.
That's sort
of
sad.
We're getting a little out of control.
That's true. That's sort of sad.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
He's every last dime.
Eli from Kansas City, I just want to see how you guys would break down the roster. You've been to see the practices, and now that the floodgates have opened on the PUP list, how do you see the roster taking shape? I'm going with the thought that there will only be two quarterbacks. Can you break down the rest of the team by position? Well, we're not going to do that right now.
A very legitimate question.
Yes.
But not realistic.
What we'll do, Eli, no. When's the date for the cutdowns? It's like right at
second.
September,
well,
right? September
2nd. I will
2nd.
Say that not the next issue that's coming out, the one after that will have at least a pulse story kind of forecasting what the 53-man roster
right.
will look like. We always do that.
And we'll talk about the show, but let's wait a little closer to the cutdown deadline.
Let's see a game action.
Not
yeah.
enough time.
Let's see some games. Let's see what happens.
Although I will say after today's practice, the kicker is getting very interesting.
Oh, I tell you, Kyle and I
talk about that.
Kyle and I did not go out for practice. We went out at the end so we could talk to the players and get up for Bill's press conference. On the way, Andy, we met a very disconsolate Fred Kirsch walking back to the concourse. Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, those kickers must have had a tough day. Fred was just walking with his head down, shaking his head, muttering like, you know, some sort of homeless person, talking about how bad the kicking game was at practice. I for one, feared for his safety. Kyle?
I was worried. I actually was worried he was going to yell at me. He looked really angry. And, you know, he was doing the really fast Fred Kirsch walk, and I thought... What did I do?
Well, that's just a regular walk. That's not a fast
walk. I tell you what, man, you must have tore Kyle a new one, because I've said to Allison, I've never even seen Fred mad. And then Kyle's, he's definitely afraid of you. It's like me, when I first got here, when I saw Belichick, and I was too scared to ask him any questions.
All right. Let's see. Joe writes in.
Now you've graduated to the softballs.
Yep. Great work.
Hey,
great
Bill.
Work on the podcast.
The kite. How do you feel?
I think Bill does like you, though, Tom. He gives you some.
Everyone
good, you
likes
know.
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom,
Kyle, if you're going to come in with some analysis, it's going to has to be more accurate than everyone likes Tom.
Tom's like our John
Tom
Madden.
Likes Tom.
Tom's like our John Madden. Everyone likes him.
He's a big idiot, but people like him. He says nothing, but people like him.
I mean, he was thinking, okay, we get the extra. Whoa, what happened? You know, go on in. You know.
See, Tom at night thinks all our laptops talk to each other. Let's see. Joe McKenna says, great work on the podcast. The addition of Kyle has been great. Some real laugh-out-loud
yeah!
moments.
Fans will give anybody praise.
Gary, they said
record
real,
that.
Real play that back later, tomorrow.
You missed the end of it, though.
The end of it.
Some real laugh-out-loud moments is what he's
in front of you.
What happened to the other new addition? Is she gone or is she still in the corner nodding into the microphone? The addition of Kyle has been great.
Lori?
Some real laugh-out-loud moments.
Yeah! No, Elizabeth, she's gone tomorrow, right?
Elizabeth, this Elizabeth leaves
she
tomorrow.
She was here?
Let's see. I'm loving all the training camp coverage. I particularly enjoy Paul's podcast on Monday. Great to hear Rodney's back
really
in the
knows
field.
What he's talking about this guy, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe.
Some questions. One, for fans living outside of the area,
Paul Perillo?
What was that? Was that Rodney Harrison?
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Let's see. For fans living outside of the New England area, what do you think is the best fan experience? What's the best fan experience for someone coming from outside of here? A trip to training camp to attend a few open practices.
No.
A trip to Gillette for a regular season game.
Awesome.
A guided stadium tour by Fred.
No.
Or a guided stadium tour by Lori.
Jackpot.
Regular season.
Regular season game.
Yeah,
can't
regular
beat
season
it.
Game. I would have to say the same.
Can't simulate game conditions, Andy.
It's true.
Although I
bullets
give,
start flying
I give good tour, I have to say.
I've had it.
Quick one.
It's a good one.
I made it.
I don't remember any of the pasts that were on it because they were
just
mostly
in the heating
secret,
in the duct work.
If you're interested in the boiler room, Fred will take you through.
Otherwise, take Lori.
I made it to Gillette last year for Buffalo game. Great facility. I also saw them play in Cincinnati last preseason. Brady definitely did not play. I didn't even see him on the sideline. And saw them at Soldier Field a few years ago. I'm going to Buffalo and Minnesota to see them this season. Good. Good for you. Question two. Excluding Gillette, what are the best three stadiums in which to watch an NFL game?
Well, we can include it if you want.
You know, that's just not right.
I just want to say it for the record, Fred, that I said nothing.
Good, Paul.
I bit my
good,
tongue.
Paul.
You're asking good are you asking us, like, from press box? Because, Fred, speak up. We're not in the top three from when it comes from watching a game from the press box.
You have to admit that.
No, I'm talking about from a fan perspective. He's talking about.
Oh, well, I haven't been in every stadium.
I'd say that Kansas City is probably number one. Better than the Patriots.
They put on a show.
Yeah. And in fact, I don't think the Patriots are in the top three for like fan excitement at this. You know, we've talked about this before. I don't want to get in this whole tangent.
Game
but New England fans are not that great when it comes to creating excitement for their
team. Tick, 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 tick.
It has nothing to do with Gary. It has nothing to do. No. You look at the Kansas City fans, they know what they're doing.
They have certain chants they do at certain times.
Yes.
I think Kansas City's fan experience is phenomenal.
And I think Pittsburgh fans are pretty good too, except, you know, they lose it to, you know, they get too up.
They're babies.
And then their highs are too high and their lows are too low.
So I should be a Pittsburgh fan?
But in terms of the stadiums themselves,
extremists.
I like, I really like Detroit, Ford Field. I really like Houston, Reliance Stadium. Denver. And I really like Denver, Investment Field. There's three. I mean, in terms of the stadium itself,
right.
There's a lot of others too. But for your fan experience, I think I agree with you. Kansas City, in terms of what I got to witness, and I'll be looking forward to getting to Green Bay this year because when we were at Green Bay, it was a preseason game. So I don't think that's quite the same kind of passion. So Kansas City, that's fun to watch. They get into it. I mean, pretty much the entire stadium is red.
Plus, they have the mascot wrestling
matches.
On the four-wheelers, they zip around.
The live band going. It's a good
everything
experience.
There.
Question three, which of the following potential scenarios do you think are most likely and would be the biggest threats to the Patriots winning the AFC East and beyond this year? Culpepper has a career season in Miami. That's pretty good.
Yes. Well, that'll be one heck of a season.
NFC North ends up being a surprisingly strong division. Well, it should be.
Still Culpepper.
Yeah. Deion Branch holds out for a significant portion or all of the season. Rodney Harrison returns but is only 75% of the player he was pre-knee injury. Corey Dillon has a similar season to the one he had last year, and Maroney is not yet ready to play at the NFL level.
No.
Gostkowski, Gramatica is a huge bust and repeatedly misses big kicks, costing the Patriots a few games.
How long are we going here?
And the last one, Tom Brady starts dating Paris Hilton and misses several games with an unspecified groin infection.
I like your boobs.
Well, which of those?
If Tom Brady misses any games, that's number one. But I think the kicker one could be up there.
Well, he says it right there. He misses some, loses some games for them.
Ask the Culpepper.
You can't afford to lose a couple of games.
I think all of those
but
things.
But Tom's right. The Culpepper one. If he has a career year, those are ridiculous numbers.
I mean,
the year he had a couple
MVP.
Years ago. Right.
He's
the league MVP.
He had 41.
Which means he probably leads the Dolphins to the division title.
He had 41 touchdown passes 2 years ago. So if you're talking a career year, that means he's going to have more than 41 touchdown passes and. You know, conceivably less than. I think he only had like 11 picks.
Seven or eight on the ground too. So he came close to he came close to Manning's.
I was going
to
say he got a little porked because Manning had that big.
Yeah, that
everybody forgets Culpepper.
Mensa from the Bronx. I don't know about you guys, but I'm very excited now that football season's finally upon us again. I'm also very happy that Rodney Harrison, Dan Cope, and Randall Gay, and the rest of the crew are able to get on the practice field. I hope and pray that this year most of the guys can stay out of any serious injuries so that they can continue to give us something to cheer about, hopefully another Super Bowl run. What do you guys think about the Patriots trading for disgruntled wide receiver Terry Porter from the Raiders? Can he be a fit? Jerry Porter, I think he means. Can he be a fit into the Patriots system? I think if the Raiders are willing to get rid of him for a fourth-round draft pick, I think we would have to give it a shot. I think he would be far better than Ashley Lalee.
The Raiders are asking two first-round draft picks for Jerry Porter.
I was just going to ask.
In other words, they're not going to trade
us. Unless he can get a hold of Jerry Jones, no idiot is going to pay that kind of money for a deep-threat wide receiver.
Has anybody, has there been any update on that story? Because that's the last I saw was that Oakland was asking for two number ones because Porter's agent was up in arms over that, saying that he wasn't even a number one pick himself. So how, you know, it's obviously unrealistic.
I heard Art Shell say, look, you know, everybody that's here is here, and I'm not going to, you know, Jerry Porter is going to play for us. And, you know, he said that on Sirius Radio. He really downplayed the whole thing, you know.
Although I should keep in mind, the people's champ is still out there, Freddie Mitchell.
Oh, who did he try out with
the
yesterday?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys, yeah.
They told him to pack it up.
I'm surprised they even brought him down.
I have no idea why.
Speaking of the Cowboys, both Terry Glenn and T.O. are on the bikes.
Yeah.
What happened to Terry Glenn?
You know.
Hurt his leg.
Yeah. She'll be all right.
Leg injury.
But both of them aren't going to be in the first game, preseason game.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, whether they were 100% or not, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to play them in the first preseason game anyway.
Let's see. Gary Abrams, it's my feeling that the Patriots will go to a 4-3 defense as their primary formation this year. That's not to say they won't use several others and mix it up like they have in the past, but They seem to be practicing it more than before, and with the players they have, it would seem to be a good fit. Also, it would take most teams by surprise, at least for the first half of the season. What do you guys think? Paul, you were talking about that, perhaps going to a 4-3.
I think with the injuries they've had, it might make sense, but I would disagree that they've used it more in camp. I think they've actually used it less in camp.
Yeah, the
so
only
far
time they've gone to a 4-3
in the past
is
like the last 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know about today.
And they did.
They did. They were. They were lining up off the center today.
Who are the guys that have been out with Richard Seymour and Jarvis Green missing the bulk of the practice?
But Green's back today.
But even
I'm saying
even
up
that
to this
whole
point,
time,
right.
Even that whole time with Seymour and Green out, they had mostly three-man fronts.
Right.
And using even Lakeven Smith as one of those guys, Mike Wright, gotten a tremendous amount of reps.
Even yesterday, Jonathan Sullivan was lining up on the nose. That's when we were watching
lately,
him. He was getting moved all over the place.
The last couple of days this week, Bruschi's been out, and we've seen a little bit more four-man front, and we've even seen Vrabel moving back inside periodically with the second group. I saw him with some reps with Freddie Roach. In with the second group. So maybe they are kind of thinking about that. Actually, Andy and I were talking about it as we were walking out from the press conference. Amid the whole Bruschi thing today, that was one question that I had in mind. I was wondering how to kind of
but
ask
still,
it
even in a 4-3, is Barry Gardner your middle linebacker?
Yeah. Why is Beisel with the third team? Is it because of his injury? Or is he the third team linebacker? Because if he's a third team linebacker, Monty Beisel might not even make this team.
I had an interview with him today that went south when too many people joined in.
Yeah, and
it was one of them.
They were all there, all the usual suspects.
That's another thing I'm talking about.
I also think that
with these guys, they don't make a request for a player. They just glom on to whoever's in there because
they
have nothing that they really want to ask because they don't have any idea what they're going
to
write about.
It's not related to their story.
That's two different things. The first one I would disagree with you on. The second one I wholeheartedly agree with you. They don't have any questions to ask.
Right.
They just stand there and ruin your interview. But the first part of it is you can't request 17 guys.
No, but have go into camp with an idea of what you're going to write about.
Most do. But I'll go down there and I'll request two or three guys. But I'll talk to eight. But I won't necessarily have requested everybody. I'm going to go around and...
But you got to get
Someone else may have requested Mike Vrabel, and I didn't, but I'm going to go over there and talk to him. But I won't just sit there and act like a bump in a line.
There's too many people covering this team, which is... and I shouldn't say that there was a time when not enough, but there's a lot of fringe...
There were a lot of media people here today. I don't know if it was just because the Red Sox are on the road, middle of the week, or what it was. But I looked at Andy, I go, geez, don't these guys have any lies? I mean, what is everybody? It's the middle of camp. I mean, I can understand at the start of camp, but today, there was as many people here today, I bet, as there was in the opening day of camp.
Well,
it was ridiculous out there.
Paul, I wouldn't mind that if we were getting all this different news coming out. They write off what Belichick said in his press conference, and it's all duplicate stuff. No one's really working hard. Anyway, Gary says, if past history is any indication, players that miss most or all of training camp sometimes end up getting injured during the season due to, my guess, not being in condition as well as they can be. Some examples might be Seymour last year as well as Bruschi the end of the season and Watson 2 years ago after holding out. Branch has had a history of injuries already, and Chad Jackson as a rookie was not getting a lot of reps. Could this be a recipe for disaster? What do you think of this theory?
I think the examples you used are poor. Benjamin Watson tore his ACL. That's not something that comes from not being in condition. Richard Seymour got hurt playing goal line fullback. Not something that came from not being in condition.
5 weeks into the season, and he also missed, I think, 2 days.
And even Bruschi, when you look at Bruschi, what he did to come back from that stroke... He was probably in the best condition of anyone.
Well, that's a totally different example.
Yeah.
That's not an injury. He came back.
He had to be. Situation. He had to prove to himself and everyone else that his conditioning, at least his cardiovascular conditioning, was up there.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, and it also separates when we're talking about at the top. He's the one guy on defense that you feel pretty confident. I mean, if you have to be missing a key part, he'd be one guy. I guess you would pick because he obviously knows what he's doing and all that. But he missed all of training camp last year and certainly suffered from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that was the same thing as this because of the fact that it wasn't an injury. It was a much different medical situation. Probably at this time last year, he didn't really even know if he was going to play. You know, I mean, I really honestly believe that.
That said, I think those injuries do occur. I think there are guys that miss significant time, and then they jump on a field and pull a hamstring or something like
that.
Right,
sure.
And that's because they haven't run 100 routes out on the practice field.
But
right.
that's
not ready.
But in like Seymour's case,
Fred
I think Seymour missed 3 days of practice.
Just got hurt again?
Well, Fred Taylor's always hurt.
Always hurt. But, you know, like Bill said this week about Testaverde, I mean, he just took a snap, went back, right. and blew his Achilles out. So
that's not a conditioning thing. Yeah.
Injuries are injuries. It's hard to predict when they're going to happen and who they're going to happen
right.
to.
And when you tear an ACL or an Achilles or break a leg,
well, I got a strained toe and I could right. probably go, but I'm not because our team is 4-8 right. type injury.
Those are, football's a tough sport and that happens.
It's a tough game, man.
Dave DiNuzio is from Rocky Hill, Connecticut. He says, as always, show's great. Oh, and by the way, I've also joined the Tom Casale fan club. Has he printed up the T-shirts yet? Anyway,
no, I'm running out of email addresses to send into the show.
Anyway, I have some over-unders for you today. Over-under, guys. 400 points offensively for the regular season.
Under.
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 100 rushing yards versus Buffalo week one.
Over.
Oh, okay. Two Patriots 2006 draft picks on IR this season.
Under.
Two of them.
That's it. Two.
You think
two? I'm going. I'm sticking.
You're pushing.
I'll go under, but who are you going with?
I'm just picking two.
Oh.
I don't know who they're going to be. I just, okay. That's my guess.
15 regular season catches for Eddie Berlin.
Under.
If he sticks around. I'm not.
Yeah.
Patriots Football Weekly.
One.
Say under,
I'll take the under.
Rock on, Patriots fans. 25 passing TDs for Brady for the regular season.
Over.
Under. 300 receiving yards for Falk in the regular season.
Over.
100 tackles for Rodney Harrison.
Under.
Okay. That was good.
Is that good, Fred? I wasn't overly pessimistic. You usually accuse me of that.
That was good. Let's see. Justin from Alaska. He said, great show last week, firing on all cylinders, he said. Did we have a good show last week?
I think they're all good shows.
Not. Fine show, Fred.
It's going to be a fine
Kyle, are you still with us?
I did see that episode,
doing?
Tom, but I missed that.
A little nap now that you had lunch? Take
no,
a little nap?
No.
We could make
did you catch me sleeping or
no,
something?
No, we could you know, fix something in the corner for you. You could lie down, have a little
do
nap.
Want to do a shotgun funnel?
Fix me a bottle, maybe?
Keg stand.
You know, Andy can powder your bottom or something. Let's see. I'm not real concerned about Brewski out for a month. It's August and not November, at least. What is Chad Brown's wrist injury, as bad or not as bad as Brewski's? Didn't you hear that
we've heard it's the same thing, but not from anybody within the team.
Okay. When that first happened, I saw it, I think. I forget who was there with me.
I was
Andy.
With you. We saw it.
I mean, he grabbed his hand right away and left the drill right away and then left practice right away. I called Boxer's fracture in the hand. That was blind.
Boxer's fracture.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Did he hit his hand on a helmet or something?
Hand.
I couldn't tell on the drill. It looked like he might have gotten it
Punched
twisted.
Somebody?
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm assuming the answer is none, but how many out of the four of you play Madden? I'm usually sick on the day it comes out.
Four.
I hate to miss
I'm
work
here.
That day, but...
I'm here. It's coming out August 22nd. I'm
apparently
looking forward
Kyle
to it.
Plays.
Play?
Yeah.
I know my son plays. I don't
play. I played Bill Walsh's college football about 12 years ago. I was great at it. And then they did something crazy. They made these controllers with about 855 different buttons. You got to press this to twist. You got to press this to stiff arm. I'm used to the old
you
Atari controller with
practice,
the stick and one button.
I think that you of all people would appreciate that. I mean, I'm as big a Tecmo Super Bowl fan as anybody else.
I don't understand it.
You practice to play football. You don't practice to play a video.
Practice to
plug it in and hit play.
The time that Tom and I are on the same wavelength so much that it scares me.
Oh, there's going to be 8 million people that agree with you.
I've absolutely never played Madden once, and that's the exact reason why I can't handle it.
Right, I'm not saying anything bad about the game. I watch people play it, and it looks phenomenal. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. I don't make fun of people.
I'm not talented enough to do it.
I can't do it. I already
didn't understand it.
Bill Belichick said he wasn't talented enough to do it.
Yeah, but your VCR is still flashing 12 o'clock. At your house.
I don't want to talk about
from
my
the
DVD
millennium.
Player that what? My son can operate.
You can't operate your DVD player?
No, and my son can. He put a CD in the other day.
I got a question for you guys that know more than me. What is a PCP player? What's this? Or PSP?
PSP is a handheld device that shows movies.
Awesome.
You can play video games. It's made by Sony.
Color.
This is the new thing.
I
keep hearing coming out on DVD and PSP.
PSP.
And I have no idea what
it
is.
PSP.
It's
a medium. They have a special cartridge for playing movies and video games.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool device. When I get a DVD,
you get the
player,
internet on it.
20
too.
Years later, yeah. I'll get the PS.
It's somewhere between a BlackBerry and a
my
laptop.
My son has one.
It's for video games.
Yeah. I'm hoping they come back to VCRs.
I saw your son at training camp the other day. By the way,
he got Brady's autograph.
Oh wow, good score.
Yeah, I don't have Brady's.
Help that out. No, they were just standing there. He came over.
Fred's eight sport superstar. You got to see this kid. He's got stuff around the house. He's playing lacrosse. Then I see him hit a home run out of the park. Then I see him dunk a basketball. Then he's doing dives. That kid is unbelievable. He went for 8 hours straight, nonstop.
He is a good athlete. He has a lacrosse wall, too, Tom, that he can...
Right,
you know,
that's what... But Fred, just sports-wise, I mean, he ran across the street to play basketball with the neighbors. I mean, he just didn't stop.
But we all did.
He's going to be a good athlete.
It's the only way he's going to college, because I'm not paying for it.
Get on that gravy train now, Fred.
T.O. had his own trainers and took himself out of the coming game. Parcells says he doesn't have any issue with that. First, I think he's lying. But what do you think Belichick's reaction would be if, say, Vrabel told Belichick that he has his own training staff for an injury and that he wasn't going to make it to Atlanta this week?
Well, I remember someone rehabbing in Las Vegas, and he's now unemployed, so that would be my guess.
Yeah, no, I... Good reference.
What do you think about that, Paul?
Yeah, I don't think that there's... I didn't...
Do you think
seen,
that it's just about...
I haven't seen any of the stuff, so I'm not going to comment
on it's a matter of time.
Dallas,
with
I don't think Bill would let that fly.
Do you think it's a matter of time between Parcells and Owens?
Sure, but it's a matter of time between Owens and wherever he is.
Okay.
I think that he is destined to blow up no matter where
he goes.
They
got 1 year to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So the paper, the Boston Globe, said that if Branch took the Patriots offer, he's basically being paid along the amounts of Santana Moss, Isaac Bruce, and Terry Glenn. Maybe he's better than Glenn, but I can easily see him on a par with Moss and Bruce. I don't see him better than them. Or is Branch better than I'm remembering? I mean, we're not talking like he's Bolden or Chad Johnson. Yes, Moss had an above-average year last year, but points still stand.
I got to chime in here.
Yes.
He cannot hold Isaac Bruce's jock.
Well, certainly not
Isaac
his prime.
Bruce, no, it was a phenomenal NFL receiver.
Isaac Bruce is 111 years old now, yeah. But I mean, you know, in his prime, I mean, there's not even a competitor. That's insulting.
Right.
Okay.
Put them in the same sentence.
Paul is personally offended over that.
I am. Too.
Isaac Bruce is a very, very good wide
most
receiver.
Most defensive backs
well,
say he's
anymore.
One of the toughest
no,
receivers
I'm talking
to cover
about
the
during
NFL.
His career. I mean, you're talking about him now. He's got to be close to 35 years old.
Right. And when he was hurt last year, he had a turf
he's
toe.
All, well,
or
he's
something.
Still he's,
putting
he's
up
battled,
Branch
he's
type
battled hamstring problems pretty much throughout his career.
Justin says, final couple questions. Do you think Roethlisberger will survive that first big shot to his head during the regular season?
Dolphins roll him week one. Roll him. 35-10 Dolphins. Roll him.
I think the Steelers are definitely one of those teams that win the Super Bowl and then you go take a nosedive.
Yeah, blowout.
Like they're set up for that.
Like the Patriots last year, you mean?
They didn't take a nosedive. They made the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about not making the playoffs.
2002 Patriots.
2002 Patriots then.
Okay.
It's so bad.
But they were still 9-7 and only missed the playoffs.
What's a nosedive then? What are you
talking about?
Predicting?
Like, I'm talking about sub-500. And not sub-500.
Okay, so sub-500. Okay. I
but
just wanted to
that's a nosedive after winning the Super Bowl?
Yes, but I don't. Instead of you just saying, because I know how you'll be, at the end of the year, you'll say you were right no matter what happens.
You're unbelievable.
If the Steelers don't win the Super Bowl, I'll guarantee in the middle of January, you'll say, I told you back in August.
They only went to the Championship game. They took a nosedive.
Took a nosedive. They didn't go as far as they did last year. Can you see them doing that?
As I usually say, you'll know it when you see
it. So I want to get it on record. Your definition of a nosedive is sub-500. That's legit. So now I'll be watching.
Okay.
Tom thinks the same thing.
Did someone spray that orange stuff?
Andy, probably.
What do you think? Are you having trouble over there?
No.
You should never do a show with Andy after eating, because he has no control over his bowels.
And I want to know
no
who
control.
Cut the cheese.
I have a digestive problem.
You need to wear pull-ups. Do you think that Mangini will be a one-term coach with the Jets?
Well, but I'm not Bill Belichick.
He's getting killed right now. They were just showing it on
TV. Oh, by the media?
Yeah.
Oh, who cares?
You think Mangini will be a...
No, that's his question.
What
do you
think?
They
could pull him after
will be a what?
Year.
A one-term, meaning 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah, no way.
No. No, absolutely not.
I didn't know what
a
term
he's going to be.
Well, let me
impressive.
Ask you guys this. They're saying
maybe it's his first contract. Maybe he means that.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Well,
my answer wholeheartedly.
Let me ask you. They said that Mangini's going to New York and doing what Belichick does here, like not letting the
players. Yeah, so why are they so surprised?
Well, no, but let me ask you a question. I've heard people say, well, he can't do that because he's not Belichick. Now, did Belichick do that as soon as he got here?
Yes.
Oh, then that's fine then, because when Belichick got here, he was nothing.
Well, but he also tried to do it when he was in Cleveland, and he got killed in Cleveland.
Well, to be fair,
what was the difference?
Bill got killed.
Well, this was the second time around. He did it a little better and smarter than he did it when he was in Cleveland.
You guys forget that when he came here, and I'm not saying Tom because obviously he wasn't here, but in 2000 he got killed. He did it. He, no question, he's the same now as he was in 2000. They went 5-11, and there wasn't a lot of goodwill.
No. There wasn't a lot of goodwill.
Second week,
he wasn't
one. There wasn't a lot of goodwill.
You know, according to guys who were there, like Michael Holly, he wasn't as bad here than he was in Cleveland.
Well, I'm sure
he learned. But he was very, very much tight-lipped.
Oh yeah, that's the way he does it. By the way, so was Parcells, and so were a lot of other coaches.
Right. And Parcells also got killed when he first got to New York, and he went 3-12-1 his first year. He was a hair away from being fired. Much like I think if the 2001 campaign didn't turn around in a hurry.
Absolutely.
I think that Belichick was on the road
Absolutely.
To a second firing.
Parcells said when he took over in New York, he was trying to do things other people's way.
Yeah, I remember
And then
that.
He said, I'm just doing it my way, and if it doesn't work, they'll fire me. So at least Mangini's doing it, you know, it's doing it his
right.
way. If it doesn't work, it doesn't
he
work.
He watched the way
he's
Belichick
smart.
Did it. He
he's
obviously
really
respects
smart.
The way Belichick
right.
does it, and he's going to do it that way. And I think he's right. That's the way he
and,
should be
and,
going
you know,
about it.
And I know these players always say the right things when they get a new coach, one way or the other. But a lot of the guys said this is what we needed. We needed a little discipline. We needed a little, you know, leadership.
And,
yeah,
but how long does that last?
But now, yeah,
right.
Now they
right.
need to
well,
win.
Well, they said the exact opposite thing when Pete Carroll came.
Right.
We need to be treated like men
exactly.
instead of...
That's what the Chiefs are saying
you
right
need,
now.
All you need to do is win, and it doesn't matter the
you
other stuff.
Right.
Exactly.
If you don't win, then you get on that carousel where you go 3 years with a player's coach, 3 years with
right.
a...
You
with
should
a,
never listen to what players
Paul,
say.
Paul, the only thing I would disagree a little with what he said is like he saw Bill do it, and it worked.
That's how
if
he feels
Eric,
like
if
he should.
Eric thinks that's the case, that's what he would honestly do.
No,
but
well,
if he's forcing him, if he's just
no,
literally
saying,
taking
obviously
New England and
that.
Moving it to New York and saying, well, that's how they do it there, so I'm doing it here, and it worked.
No,
if he
I'm
doesn't
saying
truly,
that.
In the back of his mind, think it's, you know what I mean? If he's being a little fraudulent.
Well, you got Charlie Weiss in Notre Dame who's taking even what the Patriots do to another extreme.
I exactly know what
but
you're
in
saying.
But in a different way. He's put his hand on it by, he's available to anybody. He's on 60 Minutes. He's writing books.
Yeah.
He's doing all this. He's just putting the kibosh on everybody else.
Right.
So
including
he's
the players.
And there's no question. That's Charlie. He wants to control it and yet has a big ego where he wants to be front and center.
Right.
So that's clearly his.
Now you, take
that's his
now you also take a guy from the system, Romeo Crennel. I have not heard the type of complaints out of Cleveland that we're hearing out of New York with Mangini.
Right. Well,
you know,
I don't think he's doing. From what we saw at the combine, I'd say me and Andy think those
he
two
might
are,
not
could be
doing
further
it,
apart.
He might not be right. doing it the same way. But I totally agree with your point about Mangini, Andy, about if he doesn't believe that in his heart
right.
to be
because
the right
players
way.
Players will slip
I'm
it
saying,
out.
Right. I'm
if
saying the fact,
no.
that he, the fact that he's brought that to New York, to me, is an indication that he learned under Bill and thinks that is the right way to do it.
I think so, too. But I also feel like. He wouldn't know anything else to do.
But I think
he's only been under. That's all
right.
he knows.
Right. No, that's a fair point.
And
he's
somebody brought it up to me today out on the football field when in practice. Dean Pease was screaming at somebody and said, "Do you think Eric Mangini would have done that much last year?" And I don't remember Eric screaming a lot. And I said, "No, because Dean Pease has that confidence.
Jeez,
right. He's been a head coach.
Right.
He's been a coach for 30 years.
Got the cred.
When he sees something, he reacts and he yells.
He's got the
Whereas
cred.
I think Eric Mangini last year might have been saying, "Ooh, is that right? But if I yell and I'm wrong, then I look like a total."
Right.
Idiot who's incapable of coaching this football team.
Right.
So I think you get confidence out of experience, and that's something that Eric Mangini lacks.
One note on Charlie Weiss. I see he's taking his second leading rusher and moving him to linebacker. That tells me Charlie's getting some talent at Notre Dame. You mark it down right now. Michigan and Lloyd Carr will not beat him the entire time he's at Notre Dame because Lloyd Carr is such a terrible freaking coach.
Ooh.
Weiss will out-coach him every single year. Mark it down. Gary, record it. Put it down right now.
I love it when Tom's definitive.
I'm like just waiting it. For him to be right on one of
Tom
those.
Tom Casale puts the hammer down. Yeah, it doesn't mean he's right. He just puts the hammer down.
I happen to agree with him.
But, I'm just going to say.
A couple questions finally from Justin. Who was the better guitarist, Vito Bratta or Red Beach? I don't know either one of them.
I don't either.
No idea.
I feel like the old Saturday Night Live skit where Bill Murray does the movie reviews,
yeah.
and he says, "I can't comment because I didn't see him."
And will Tom Brady hoist the Lombardi Trophy one more time before he hangs it up and goes into politics?
Do it this year.
Yeah.
Not this year,
of
but sure.
Of course.
Based on the previous 1 hour and 58 minutes, could that statement have possibly come out of Tom Casale's mouth?
I just tell it like it is. It's training camp, though. I'm like Fred. I don't look at all the negatives. I'm looking at the
right.
big picture.
You just told me about how worried you were about the secondary.
I am a little worried about the secondary.
Yeah, is it a Super
Bowl?
If
we're covering some other team, we'd have a list of negatives for that
Is it a Super Bowl winning secondary?
They get in the playoffs. I got Brady and Belichick. You guys take whoever else you want, and I'll meet you at the Super Bowl.
He did it again.
Super fan Tom Casale.
Let's see. Who's this from? Trying to read. John in L.A., Los Angeles.
Juan.
Tough to read. I got to give.
One item that may not get as much attention as it deserves is Rodney's appropriate and gracious comments about the training staff. It seems like a small gesture, but I'm sure it meant a lot to all of them to be mentioned by name the very day Rodney returned to the field. I just think Rodney deserves credit for being a good guy and doing what should be the norm, but almost never is.
True, so but it would have been nice if he hadn't pulled a Fred Kirsch and called him.
I got to disagree. Paul
him, Van Allen, and Joe.
A good guy, and he talked about the training staff.
I used the training Patriots. Staff as my who's hot.
Yeah, for Patriots.com.
That day. I got to agree with that.
He didn't get their names right when he did it.
He tried. He made the gesture.
I will say this. He mixed them up, and he corrected himself.
Oh, he corrected him, yeah.
It wasn't like someone said, I'm Rodney.
Two, I'll spare you the frantic freakout, Teddy Bruschi-wise, and just ask this. Is there any reason whatsoever for us to believe the Patriots will be able to depend on any of the following linebackers to perform at a relatively productive level this season? No. Gardner, Mincy, Bantakane, Izzo, yeah. Davis, or any of the undrafted free agent rookies? Because unless someone's about to burst onto the scene, that is, in my view, the worst group of depth anything a Belichick roster has had in a while. Any word on a trade for a semi-decent veteran linebacker who can learn fast, perhaps Roman Pfeiffer in a time machine, might come in handy.
The thing about Mincy...
I mean, those are pretty strong words from John in L.A. Worst depth of any Belichick roster.
We got to take Mincy right out of there, because Bills has said publicly, and when he says something publicly, that's a rarity, so you have to take it. He said, switching from college defensive end to NFL outside linebacker is the toughest thing that a player has to do on defense. So if he's saying that, how can we expect a six-round draft pick to come in here and contribute when Tully Bantakane's been in the system 3 years and he still can't even
do it? Well, the only thing I would ask about that is, didn't Ware and Merriman do the same kind of thing?
Yeah, but those are like...
They had impact.
Those are the upper... I think
right,
he means like in general.
And I think there's a chance.
But we're talking about a six-round draft pick.
Right. All I'm saying is, I don't think we just write a guy off and say, years away.
I'm not writing Mincy off. I'm not writing Mincy's career off. I'm writing him off for this year. I don't think he's going to come in and do anything.
I don't either.
Here's the statement that Bill made, and this was yesterday's press conference that I think is even more telling. He talked about his success moving to linebacker Mincy, and he talked about all the regular camp staples. You know, is having a good camp, good tough kid, good condition, but blah 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 blah. You know, we'll get to the games and we'll get him out on special teams in the kicking game and we'll see how he comes along and if he can win a role there.
So there you go.
So I think that's where the only place that you can expect him to contribute.
Well, I don't expect him to contribute because, as I said earlier, they don't even have him working as a backup. They have Rosie Colvin working
in
two groups.
Now, obviously, we can draw our own conclusions based on what we see, but when Bill specifically comes out and says this guy is working for a role in special teams, I think we can pretty much safely assume that they're going to have to get well down into the depth chart before he's going to be asked to play defense.
And I agree that there could be a possible trade in the works, blah, blah, blah. But then now we have to have the guy come in and learn the system. And we saw what happened when two guys tried that last year. So we're going to get a guy in here at the end of August. You know, he's just going to pick up the system and be able to contribute.
Hell
no.
That's part of the thing I'm wondering about, the whole Vinny Testaverde thing.
Oh, right. How effective can it be?
Because Bill's not like saying,
but you're
Vinny,
you're bringing
him
in.
I know you're on your couch. Here's the play. Here's what we do.
I agree with you.
You know he's not doing that.
Right. I agree with you, but I just, at this point, in my mind, it's either Testaverde or it's nobody, because it's not like they're going to call Kerry Collins and say, Kerry, you're dumb as a box of rocks. Why don't you come in here and learn our offense and throw 35 interceptions for us?
And before I get attacked for that, I will admit that, the Charlie Weiss offense is still basically in play here, and Vinny has some experience in that. But it was quite a while ago that he played in that. He's been in some other system since then. I just don't think it's a great fit for a guy to come in you know,
right
say
now,
2 weeks,
a great fit
2 weeks before the start of the season and just be ready to be a backup.
Given the combination of removing Copen from PUP, thereby relinquishing the ability to put him on a regular season PUP, and the Ross Tucker trade, is it reasonable to assume that Dan's health is significantly farther along than even the most optimistic of us thought?
No, I don't think.
What about Stevenson? Maybe it means that Stevenson's playing well.
Well, Stevenson has been involved.
Against Jonathan Sullivan, we know that.
Stevenson's been involved in a lot of the, with Copen out, Stevenson's basically been the second center, wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah.
Behind Hoekstra?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him getting a lot of reps. I mean, there's other guys. Merzkowski's been there, too.
I'd go with you, though. I'd say Stevenson is second.
I just think Tucker wasn't going to make the team, so it's irrelevant to that situation.
I don't think the Tucker thing has anything to do with anything else. I think it was a trade of a guy who has a chance to play in Cleveland.
Could start.
Who maybe doesn't have a chance at all to play, even make the roster here, who you can get. Now you get a conditional draft pick. Probably going to be like a sixth or a seventh round pick, but you get a pick rather than just releasing the guy, and he really doesn't have any designs on making your team.
I'm guessing it's one of those where it's if he doesn't make the roster, it's nothing, but if he starts, it could be a fifth or a sixth.
Well, that's what John says in his final question. Does the Tucker trade say anything about how Dan Stevenson and or Gene Mert Alphabet have looked in camp, or does it merely say, hey, everyone, Ross Tucker stinks at football?
I don't think he stinks at football.
Ross Tucker's been around a couple of years. It's like a five.
Well, I
right?
should point out something that the mighty Reese told me. We were at practice one day, and he pointed out, and he said, it seems to me that Ross Tucker is always away from everybody. He doesn't talk to the offense. Now, I hadn't really picked up on this because I wasn't watching Ross Tucker.
I remember. To paraphrase you, Tom, I'm busy watching the people that are involved.
But Reese said that he didn't seem like he was fitting in well with the other players. In other words, the Ray Ventrone. phenomenon that I picked up on last year. So maybe it was one of those things where he wasn't picking up the system well, he wasn't fitting in with other people, and they said, yeah, let's ship him off and give him another shot somewhere.
Well, I think he's also the outsider. I mean, if you look at it, most of the guys they have now, either they drafted or they're the system guys.
Right.
The Merzkowski that's been around for 3 years, the Hoekstein who's been around for 4 years now, the Gorin, they have a lot of guys that, regardless of their talent, have been in the system long enough so they know what they're doing, and that gives them an advantage.
Right.
And I think they have injected with talent with guys like Stevenson and O'Callaghan and Mankins and Kasher if
one
he ever gets
thing,
out there.
You know, I've been here almost a year now, and the one thing I have noticed about this team is they don't always take well to outsiders here.
No.
They don't. I mean, Beisel and Brown, nobody talked to those two last year. Because you see Brady with Castle talking all the time with him and stuff.
You know what?
You saw nobody with those linebackers, like not Vrabel or McGinnis.
You could be away from what? March until July and not be around Foxborough at all. And then you can show up at training camp, watch stuff like that, and you can tell who was at the off-season program and who wasn't. You get down to the third set of cornerbacks, and you see Eric Warfield out there, and you say immediately, bang.
Right.
He wasn't around much in the offseason. You watch the linebackers. Mm-hmm. You watch their interaction. Rodney Harrison immediately ingratiated himself with his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
There's other guys that have been, Tyrone Poole always seemed to be an outsider. Now, he played a significant role in the first year he was here on a Super Bowl team. He started every game. But I don't think that he was necessarily one of the guys.
No question he was not. He
wasn't around for the off-season program.
Dave in Manchester, New England. I say that every time. Manchester, England. I thought it was very nice of you guys last week to offer to show the guy from Nottingham around the stadium when he visits later this year. I wish I had thought to ask 2 years ago when I was in Foxborough and was unable to get to see anything other than the outside.
Next trip here, you got Andy to take.
Yep. Yep. I did, however, console myself by spending a serious amount of money in the pro shop. Anyway, to my point, I'll be visiting again next year and was going to be cheeky and also ask for your personal guided tour, but then thought, let's be real cheeky and ask, if I visit on a Wednesday, can I appear on the show? You could call this Meet the Fans section of the show and have someone on every week. What do you think?
I got to overstep my bounds.
The answer is
yeah,
no.
Enough. We got to put an end to this or it's going to get out of control.
Unless you bring me a car.
Next thing, Andy's going to be driving to the airport picking up fans and bring them on tours.
Hell no.
No, the next thing is you guys are going to send me to do that stuff. And then it's going to
that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but we know you'd be late and the poor guy would be waiting at the airport forever.
Or you'd be driving drunk.
Right. Or you'd get a DUI.
I don't drive drunk.
Let's see. Dave has a long email, but I want to get to the point about Tom. Kudos to Tom Casale for predicting this week's Ask PFW that Garrett Mills has a lot of versatility and he could be a big part of the Patriots offense someday, but it's probably not going to be in 2005. Probably. I think we can safely say that for sure he wasn't a big part of the 2005 team. Usually when
a little shot at Tom there that I'm
usually when people make predictions, they're about the future. Tom, maybe you should feel a bit more pressure on your job. This refers to another remark he made in the Ask PFW regarding the pressure he feels to spell properly versus the pressure on Tom Brady to perform on the field. So, some, you know, I figured I'd balance a lot of the...
The love fest has gotten a little old.
I do that all the time. That's one of my weaknesses. I screw up
knowing
years.
What year it is?
Like, when you ask me, like, no.
You can remember the most obscure stats on a
I'm
third
terrible
string.
With years. Like, if you ask me, like what year the Rams won the Super Bowl, I got no idea.
Yeah.
I got no idea.
Yeah.
I get years mixed up all the time. I do it on the checks, too.
1999.
When I'm writing checks, I got to write them over. Sometimes it's 2007, sometimes it's 2006. I don't know where the hell I am. That's what I'm trying to explain here.
let's see. Mark writes in, just a thought for a future article if it hasn't been done already. Belichick is always stressing the kicking game and how important it is to the bottom half of the roster in terms of making the team. The unofficial depth chart is great, but how about one for teams and an explanation of the various positions? For example, we all know the place kicker, punter, punt returner, kick returner, and long snapper positions. How about gunner, vice, punt, fullback, Izzo, kick returner, wedge, etc.? A guy like Gerard Cherry made a nice NFL career on being an exceptional gunner vice guy, and it might be a fresh angle to see who is on the first and second units for all of these positions. So it's an interesting article.
Yeah, Paul will do that.
Very difficult undertaking. Maybe something for the off season.
Why is that?
It's just there's a lot involved there.
Well, that's the idea. Who else is going to do it if we don't?
I said maybe for the off season.
What about the bye week?
You guys going to fight?
I don't know if you know this, Fred, but starting pretty soon we have games.
Yeah.
You know, we usually cover them.
So then we'll be able to find out who's the vice guy and all that stuff.
This from the man who goes, oh, crap, I got to write the edit letter.
Right.
Jim writes
200 words, you think you're asking to build a pyramid.
Nintendo's new video game system, the WII, pronounced Wii, comes out this fall and introduces a new way to play video games by using
stupid.
A TV remote-like controller.
We don't care.
This eliminates the complicated control schemes found on the current systems today. The Nintendo Wii version of Madden makes the game accessible to those intimidated by the amount of controls. For example, to throw the ball, you make a throwing motion with your arm. To throw a stiff arm,
exactly
you stick
problem.
Your arm straight out.
How are you going to have a video game that requires physical exertion? This is completely
counterintuitive to all the couch potatoes.
I mean, who wants to stand there and swing their arm 50 times to play a fishing game every time they have to cast or whatever it is? Have you guys seen this controller? It's
no.
It's a thing like this with a joystick.
Who knew how
on
easy it
end,
was to get them wound
buttons
up?
Buttons on the other one.
Like this. What does like this mean?
It's two different hands. I'm telling you.
Two
I don't know.
Hands.
It looks stupid. What, like, Tom Brady throws a pass.
Okay.
Do they have adult games in that?
Because
now I'm opening it up into a whole other industry.
Are you saying, like...
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I want to thank everyone who's emailed in, everyone we didn't get to, Gary, James,
thanks,
John, Gary. Everyone else, Mike, Vernon. We didn't get your emails. We'll try to get them to him next week.
Tom gets all
join us next Wednesday. And Paul on all his various media things.
Let's groove tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
Let's groove tonight. Let's groove tonight. Let's groove tonight. Let's groove tonight. Let's groove tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.